powered by the Perdomo Cigar Studios on the Red Stage in Indian Trail, North Carolina, and broadcasting from the HF Barcelona Studios in U.S., Texas, and from California, welcome to Primetime Special Edition number 80. Tonight, we bring Hector Alfonso, Sr. of Espinosa Cigars, Miguel Chaudel of Crowned Heads, together for another baseball show as we preview the 2020 Major League Baseball season. And, as always, Primetime Special Edition is sponsored by Perdomo Cigars. Awarded Nicaraguan Cigar of the Year in 2014 by Cigar Journal, the Perdomo 20th Anniversary brand has consistently earned the highest scores in the industry and is a top seller in humidors around the world. The Perdomo 20th Anniversary blend requires tobaccos that have been carefully hand-selected and are well-aged for a minimum of 8 years. The Perdomo 20th Anniversary is offered in three distinct wrappers, a smooth, creamy Ecuadorian Connecticut, a rich, earthy Cuban seed Nicaraguan sun-grown, and a dark, oily Cuban seed Nicaraguan Maduro. Combining these beautifully bourbon barrel-aged wrappers with thick, high-priming binder and filler tobaccos gives each blend a balanced complexity with layers of rich flavors and smooth, elegant aromas. Perdomo Cigars is a family-owned and operated company headquartered in Miami, Florida, with manufacturing and agricultural facilities in Esteli, Nicaragua. Perdomo's highly acclaimed cigar brands include the Perdomo Estate Selection Vintage, the Perdomo Double H 12-Year Vintage, the Perdomo 20th Anniversary, the Perdomo Reserve 10th Anniversary Champagne, the Perdomo Habano Bourbon Barrel Age, Perdomo Lot 23, and many more. For great tasting notes and pairing information, check out the new Perdomo website at www.perdomocigars.com. And by Aganorsa Leaf. Great leaf makes great cigars. Aganorsa Leaf stands out because of the distinctive flavor of a Corojo 99 and Criollo 98 seeds cultivated by Cuban agronomists on the best lands of Jalapa and Esteli, Nicaragua. When you smoke one of our JFR Lunatic, Guardian of Form, or Casa Fernandez cigars, you experience the unique taste and aroma that makes Aganorsa Leaf special. Smoke one today and enjoy the signature flavor of Aganorsa Leaf. And by Drew Estate. Check out and download the Drew Diplomat app for your mobile device. Keep up with everything going on Drew Estate. Experience the subculture that is the rebirth of cigars. It's available on iTunes and Google Play. For more information, check out www.drewdiplomat.com. And as always, all of the live streaming for the Primetime Network of shows is sponsored exclusively by Drew Estate. Well, welcome, everybody. This is Primetime Special Edition number 80. Today is Tuesday, July 21st, 2020. This is Will Cooper. I am on the red stage here in the Perdomo Cigar Studios in Indian Trail, North Carolina. And tonight, as always on Special Edition, I'm joined by my friend and colleague in the HF Barcelona Studios in U.S., Texas, Mr. Barry DePlissy.
Good evening, Coop. It's one of my two favorite days of the year.
You've been, for folks that don't know, Bear has been fired up for this show, especially the last couple of days as the momentum is building. So he has been, and it's a great thing. It's a beautiful thing to say.
It is. Baseball is back. America is back. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. And we've got some of my favorite people in this room tonight to talk about the most perfect game. It will always be the most perfect game. So I will insist that until my dying day. So this is exciting. It's good to see you, Coop. It's been a while.
Absolutely.
It's good to see our fellow panelists tonight as well. It's going to be fun.
Absolutely. So let me introduce our panel tonight. First, coming over from the Thursday show, the Primetime Show, my friend and colleague and the co-host of the Primetime Show, outside of the Oakland, California.
Inside of the
inside
Oakland, Oakland Alameda County Coliseum.
Yeah, inside. I'm going to correct that.
The premier pitcher's park in baseball.
That's right.
Ricky Henderson Field.
That's right.
Mr. Aaron Loomis. Aaron,
how
welcome.
How you guys doing tonight?
Doing great. Thanks for making it, man. Always
feels
fun
a little weird. Feels like this should be like the All-Star edition of
post-all-star
the show.
But, yeah.
I'm wearing my All-Star hat, too.
There you go. It's fitting.
All right. Okay, so we'll introduce he is tonight coming from us at Stogie's World Class Cigars in Houston, Texas, but proudly representing the city of Cincinnati, the one and only Miguel Chaudel, National Sales Manager for Crowned Heads.
Thank you guys for having me on the show. I always look forward to this great show. Tip of the cap to each and every one of you. You know, I love baseball and I love cigars. And tonight I'm smoking a exclusive H-Town Fork Kicks. We made this for Stogie's back in 2015. Beautiful. I'm going to be smoking a couple Lanceros tonight.
There you go. I figured that. Yeah, you were in the Lancero capital of the world right now, mm-hmm. literally. And coming from us, from South Florida, in the Miami area, the one and only, he is the operations manager for Espinosa Cigars, the one and only Hector Alfonso Sr.
Yeah. Can we not pipe in the applause? Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
No, we appreciate
it's
it.
A shout out. Let me pour a little for our homie Robbie, who couldn't make it today.
Robbie had to work, actually.
Yeah, Robbie's at a baseball game, which don't we wish we were all at a baseball game?
No joke.
I know, right?
I think when you introduce Hector, you should have John Cena's music come in. That's what I was waiting for.
And I'd like to take a minute to thank my good friend Tim Wong for this
old OG. Wow, that's OG, yeah.
This is not even brown anymore. It's like a beautiful yellow. It looks like a banana leaf, but it's beautiful. And I've got a nice lineup of cigars, and I'm ready to talk baseball.
All right.
Let's talk baseball, man.
We're going to talk baseball, but I'm going to get one piece of housekeeping out. Because everyone says I was teasing our contests, like making them wait till the middle of the show. Well, tonight I'm not going to do it, right? So I'll mention it a couple times. I'm going to mention it right at the stop. We're giving away a Romeo Julieta, travel humidor, and torch lighter. All you have to do is in the Facebook comments sometime tonight you need to just comment on your favorite Romeo Julieta moment you've had with a cigar, Romeo Julieta cigar, and you need to hashtag it, RYJ, 1875, the year the brand was founded. So again, your favorite Romeo Julieta moment, put it in the comments with the hashtag RYJ, 1875. If I don't get enough comments that are valid, I'm going to open this up to the people who are who basically are watching the replay. Because last time there were a lot of incorrect ones. You got to have that hashtag.
It's the hashtag, RYJ1875.
Yeah, that's what I got to say. It's easy enough. All right.
Is it open to everybody? Because I'll tell you what, that torch lighter is like, you could weld with that thing.
I was going to say, is that even a lighter? That's like a weapon in 47 states.
Absolutely. Right.
Hey. Yeah, it's not open to industry people or media people, unfortunately. You're both on the count.
Well, dang it, man. I'm in Texas. I'm the only one out of all of us that can legally have that thing. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Hey, I just want to say, someone wants to just wave to you real quick here. Wes Thornton, the man, the myth, the legend.
There he is. Yeah.
There he is.
Yeah. Wes is here hanging out with me.
Awesome, man. Sorry I missed him. I was going to pop over, but I've been a little extra careful with the COVID right now. So it's more me than you guys, just so you know that. But before we kind of get into baseball, we are going to talk baseball the rest of the night. Miguel, you mentioned what you're smoking. Hector, you mentioned what you're smoking, right?
Yes, sir. The Murciélago from 2007.
Aaron, what are you smoking?
I am smoking a La Coalición.
Ooh, nice.
Yep. I am smoking an unbanded Mil Diaz I'm about to light up. So, a pre-release, yeah. Now, and the reason why I went before Bear, you have something you want to do.
Yeah, I have a bit. Surprise.
To pick your cigar. Okay. So here it is. Bear, take the floor.
All right, so I've got a nice lineup too, but we've got a choice between the Espinosa Cigar Dojo exclusive, the Psychedelic Turtle, or this year's Las Calaveras. Everyone knows this is one of my favorite limited edition cigar series, so I'm really excited about both of these. Both of these will be smoked tonight, but who gets the honors? Represented by Hector Alfonso and Miguel Chaudel. So here's the question, gentlemen, trivia question, and whoever gets it right, first... gets this, that's the cigar that I'm smoking. So here we go. So I gave you the question ahead of time. So this is a player in post 1970, but he holds the records for assists and double plays. And here's the other hint. He played shortstop his entire career.
Ozzie Smith.
Yes.
I judge McCall. I'm going to give it to Aaron and Coop. I heard Miguel say it first.
I heard Miguel by a minute. A second, rather. I'm sorry.
By a minute? Wow. Geez.
No, a second. Oh, it was like a split second. Yeah.
It's respectful. Yeah.
That's okay. Cold, Hector. No.
It was very close, but yeah.
I had no idea, but when you said he was a shortstop, that's the first name that came to mind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ozzie Smith.
Total guess.
All right. So
Las Calaveras it is.
Not bad. You still get to follow it up with a great Psychedelic Turtle.
Yeah. Psychedelic Turtle is fantastic. I've smoked it.
I have still not had that.
You don't know the right people, bro.
I was at Dojo headquarters. I couldn't get one.
You don't know the right people. I don't know what's going on there.
They got locked up by key, and they keep it locked down.
Yep.
You come down the Caribbean, I'll make sure you get one.
I should be seeing a ton of RYJ. Before again, where are the RYJ entries for this Travel Humidor and Torch Lighter? Again, favorite RYJ moment. Hashtag RYJ1875. Come on, guys. I got Phillies red here and everything. I got all red here tonight.
By the way, I'd like to commend you on your jersey.
Well, can you see?
Oh yeah, Kepler. That's Harper. That.
Kepler.
Nice, very nice.
Listen, the guy's gonna be with the Phillies. This is the first time I've ever bought a player jersey. He's gonna be with the Phillies another 11 years after this year, hopefully. So.
You picked a good one because that jersey is beautiful. That's a classic.
I love this. This is the design I really like. It's my favorite Phillies uniform. Next, you know, there's a classic pinstripes. But yeah, this really, I've always liked this.
I've always liked the Phillies blue. The Phillies blue with the red.
The Phillies blue is a classic. Remember, it was like one of the pastel. It was one of the powder blues that actually looked.
Yeah, it was them. The White Sox, the Cardinals.
Cardinals.
Yeah. Do you remember the maroon? The Philly maroon.
Maroon in the 80s. Oh yeah. I have a maroon. I have a warm up jacket with the old maroon P on it. And
here's members only. Members only jacket.
It's a majestic. It's kind of the same brand.
Warming up in the bullpen. Dick Ruth.
Big part of that 80 team.
So check it out. 1875 was an RNJ first launch. That's 6 years after the Cincinnati Redlegs, Red Stockings, took the field for the first time.
Yeah. Yep.
Pretty amazing.
So once again, baseball wins.
And folks are asking, RYJ 1875, you get a torch lighter and a travel humidor. You can't lose. Anyone wins. Couple people asking who just popped in. I'll mention it throughout the show a few more times. And like I said, there's not enough entries, which you guys are already starting out pretty slow. It's going to go to the download audience. I want a lot of entries for this one today. Last thing on the blue hats that you mentioned. Do you know the blue hats in Philadelphia had a very similar connotation to the Cowboys, the Dallas Cowboys with the blue jerseys? They had this blue hat in like the early 90s. And the Phillies had like this atrocious record. And it was so bad that they ditched that blue hat. And didn't bring it back for a while, and then they redesigned it. So there's a little bit of a jinx with the blue hat.
Yeah, the blue hat with the little red thing on top, correct? The little red.
Yeah.
I didn't like that.
No, but it actually looked good with the the pinstripes, the Phillies pinstripes. All right. So that being said, we got a bunch of stuff to do tonight, and we're changing the format up a bit tonight because it's a shorter season. And what I want to do is let's get into this right away. We're going to get into a bunch of the topics leading into this season, and then, of course, we'll have a couple of fun segments and predictions. Let's start off first with the 60-game sprint that's going to open up on Thursday there, the 60-game schedule. What are some general thoughts about this schedule right now, and did we start baseball way too late at this point? I mean, I think we know the answer to that.
Listen, I don't want to jump ahead of Miguel here, but I'm just happy to have baseball, and I'm sure as all of us here are happy to have baseball. The 60 game sprint. Listen, I really believe that we may have a team here that just jumps out so fast, so quick. Maybe a team that we never thought would be in the mix. And if they just, you know, they start the season 20-10, you know, the 22-8, that's a team that could, you know, kind of coast the rest of the, you know, they could play 500 ball the next 30 games, and you know that's a pennant, you know, that, not a pennant, but that's a playoff team.
That's a great point. That's a really good point.
I think we're all going to agree. There. Look, I'll give you an example. Not to always fall back on my guys, but 2 years ago the Mets started 13-1. And then fell on their faces. But still, they started 13-1. The team starts, you know, you're going to get a team that's going to start, you know, 12-2, 12-4, you know, 15-5. And
what did they do through 60 that year, though?
Say again, I'm sorry?
What did they do through 60 that year?
They were under 500 at 60.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, interesting thought about that.
Tough sledding, sir.
I wasn't trying to needle you, Hector. I was just curious.
No, you don't.
In the context, listen, of the question.
I'm a Mets fan. I can take it.
He's got thick skin.
I'm thick skin, sir.
We also got one of the best pitchers in baseball, man. So even though Coop doesn't like him.
Even though Coop doesn't like him, that's okay.
Don't stop that.
Wait till later in the show. You'll see how much he hates him. You'll see how much he hates him later in the show. Watch.
I thought he should have got the Cy Young last year. I said it last year.
Yeah, all he needs is two more wins.
If Bill James is here, he'd slap you silly. That you would say sure superior to the Grump. All right. Go ahead.
What?
You wanted to ask Miguel the same question, didn't you?
Yes, yeah, Miguel, go ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah, Miguel, your thoughts.
On the sprint. My question on this, my view on the sprint is I love tradition. I don't like having a DH. I'm a NL guy, whatever it is. I love the 162 games. I don't think we should play less games. So saying that, I'm going to say this. I think this year is just going to be fun. It's one for the record books. It's an oddball season. I am so looking forward to it because now 60 games, you cannot afford to be on a 10-game losing streak. You can't afford to do that. And I think strength of schedule is really going to come into play this season, where I think sometimes in years past, strength of season really didn't matter. But I think in a 60-game season, I think there's definitely strength of schedule. And who has the easiest schedule, they say? The Cincinnati Reds.
You guys make some really good points on fast start and slow start could have a big impact.
Oh, yeah.
I'm with you. Yeah.
You cannot afford to have a bad start to the season. I think it's going to be really tough to catch up, man.
They start off the season, the guy goes 2-for-30. That guy's going to be sitting. Yep. They don't have time to let that guy hit himself back, get himself back into the groove. Not if they plan on making it to the end of the run. I think you're going to be quick to see hooks this year that you didn't see. Guys are going to get hooked quick, and if you're slumping, you're going to be sitting. Yep. You're going to be sitting. I really believe that.
You're going to look. This is going to be a once in a lifetime. Hopefully, a once in a lifetime thing.
It's
a once in a while. So yeah, tradition's out the window at this point. But if everything gets back to normal next year, this is going to be something. Like the season I always reflect back on, Hector, you're probably the one who remembers it. Is the strike season of '81 was probably the most bizarre. That was probably the next most bizarre because of the split season.
We were doing fantasy baseball in last month.
Well, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah,
I 81. I mean, I was a year old. I was 2 years old. So
Well, you got to remember, we didn't even know. Like the split season didn't happen until after the strike was resolved. It was amazing, guys. And we're gonna get into the labor part in a second. It was amazing how fast they got everyone back to work that time.
What does Aaron got to say about the 60-game season? That's what I want to know. I love baseball, but Aaron is like
– I want to hear what Aaron and Barry are both. Yep.
An encyclopedia of baseball.
So I'm very interested to see in the player usage in a 60-game season because I think that there's going to be some very strange management of players. With the pitchers especially, because in such a short season, they don't need to save themselves for such a long haul. So – you may see guys that go a little bit longer, or you may see relievers that are pitching in a lot more games this season. So, like, if you see, like, a guy like Josh Hader, who's usually doing, like, an inning and two-thirds, two innings, something a night, he might be doing that quite a bit. And he's a really good pitcher. So, if you got him closing out games and he's doing three innings, something like that, and it's a really short game with, just not even using the starter. So whatever the Rays have been doing where they did kind of an opener and then they got a long guy in there and stuff like that, you might see a lot of teams doing stuff like that. So if you got enough good pitchers, you might be seeing some lower offense in regards to that. So I'm curious to see what happens in regards to that. You're probably going to see less off days for the hitters, but I don't think there's going to be as much unique usage of the offensive guys. It'll be the pitching side that I think that has some weird stuff going on, and it might throw a loop for some other teams, and I have to see how that works. So I would say that the season probably favors good pitching teams rather than good hitting teams.
I agree with you on that.
I would love to see the era where you the old Sparky Lyle Tug McGraw where a reliever goes two innings, three innings.
Yeah. Gossage,
you may
yeah.
see that. You may see that again. You forget Gossage. Lyle, who was a Cy Young winner. I mean, mm-hmm. before they brought the goose here, you know, Lyle pitched three innings, 2 days in a row, 3 days in a row, you know. You may yep. see that. You may see some but I've heard some talk of some teams going to a four-man rotation. You know, this is going to be the year that you may see some of the things that people talk about that they're always scared to do because of the conventional season that yeah. might get ruled out this year.
I mean, does it favor, like, and I know I'm picking on the guy, does it favor an unconventional manager like a Gabe Kapler, or does it favor an experienced conventional manager in this case?
Well, now he calls him unconventional. Like, before the show started, it was like he's a shitty manager.
He is a shitty manager, but in this case, I mean, his style may – this could be – let's see what he can do here is what I'm saying.
Dusty Baker is going to be not even worried about wearing out arms this year.
Right.
He's got to worry about –
there we go. We got it. Yes, sir.
He's going to have to worry about players. Three of his players got dinged today, if I want to understand.
Yep.
Three of his guys got some cheese today. So
and Altuve went that. Down.
Yeah.
Altuve got hurt, too.
That's right. Altuve, who's the other two other cats got banged today? They got hit today. So it's gonna be
they got Breggs, didn't they? They got Breggs and then Correa.
That's right. It's gonna be a tough year. Barry Bonds better up at these guys when they come to bat. They're gonna have to be armored up.
Gladiator arm.
Bear, your thoughts on this sprint.
Well, I think Aaron had some interesting insight there, and I don't want to really spoil too much of one of your questions in the last segment about, you know, if we'll have a you know, certain statistical feats in this. But I think I like everybody in the room. I'm excited to see baseball back. This is what this country needed. This is what the five of us in this room needed. I'm rejuvenated just by the prospect of having baseball. My starting lineup for my Red Sox came across my telephone screen earlier today, and it just, brought a tear to my eye. It was awesome. It's going to bring more tears to my eyes. I'm not going to do very well this season, but that's for, you know, later on in the show, but that's fine. But to Aaron's point about the way that usage is going to happen, I think we are going to see a lot of fun and exciting things. And I think for as a purist as I am, and as a purist as Miguel is, and a lot of us are for the most part, except for Aaron, who likes robots, this season's going to allow us to kind of take a step back and just enjoy the game and just kind of watch it with almost like kid-like glasses, you know, like we're sitting on the baseline at the Field of Dreams and we're just like watching people play for the sake of playing. And I think there's going to be a lot of that. It's going to be interesting. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's going to be sabermetrics and statistics involved and a lot of analyses. It's going to be crazy, but I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think I'm in agreement with all you guys. Like I said, I'm a traditionalist. I love the marathon season. I like how the playoffs are still relatively limited to get in. But that being said, this is the cards we're dealt. We got baseball back. Let's try to, I'd say, look at the Miguel glass half full approach and see what kind of things that will come in terms of baseball and maybe what, like, I kind of go back, this once in a lifetime type of thing we're going to see. Hope, you know, and we hope it's a once in a lifetime thing here.
Oh, sure.
That it's just going to be something we'll talk about the rest of our lives and try to look at it that way. So I agree with you on that. The question I have for you guys, when we got together and we did a bunch of shows, we did our show a couple months ago. We talked about the various plans, the Florida plan. There was a Florida, Texas plan. There was an Arizona plan. They ended up scrapping all those. What do you guys think? I mean, they're playing in home stadiums. Right call, wrong call? What should they, maybe they've gone with one of those plans?
I can answer real quick on mine. I think it's the right way to go. I'm very happy that it worked out this way. I didn't think this was an option. It happened. I want to see my Reds play in Great American Ballpark. You know, I think you want to see the A's in Oakland Coliseum. That's the way it's supposed to be. So I'm more than happy with the way it worked out.
I think in a 60-game season, when there's so much missing from the season, give the players at least the opportunity to play in their home parks where they've mastered their home parks. They know how to play the wall. They know how to play the wall in Fenway. They know how to play the slope and where the Astros play. You know, they know, you know, you got a pitcher's park in Oakland. You know, it's give them at least that, but it's at least some advantage in this very neutral, you know, season that we're going to see. I mean, that all these other, all, you know, the fan noise is out. There is no home field advantage. At least they have a little small, little thing that at least they're playing in their parks that they know, you know.
Aaron, what about you?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's the best bet. I mean, if you try to shove all these guys into, you know, three different stadiums or whatever it is and try to play those games that way, I just think it's like a softball tournament rather than you know, Major League Baseball. So I like it this way. You know, I think plus, you know, if they pushed it sooner, it would have been, I think it would have been a mess, and they weren't ready on the labor side anyway. So you know, I think this is the best of everything that they could have expected at this point.
How about you, Bear?
Props to Aaron for teeing up the next question with that last comment there.
Yep.
So, no, the pragmatic part of me thinks like it is, you know, still has kind of concerns about, you know, what this stands for, you know, what this means in terms of the length of the season, you know, as far as people getting sick and things like that. With more places, you're more spread out. There's obviously that concern, but from a baseball fan perspective, I think everyone's dead on. I mean, I want to see the boys play in Fenway. I want to see them play in Wrigley. I want to see them play in the Great American Ballpark. You know, those are, you know, it's part of the fabric of baseball. And I think there are risks. I think it's the one good thing out of all this god awful shitty mess of everything that's going to be nice to see.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, the empty fan thing is what it is. You know, I would have really liked to have seen this moment where Joe Girardi went back into Yankee Stadium with fans in there, certainly, but that's just going to have to wait another year. So, you know, I don't know if I'm into this whole crowd noise or the artificial fans in there. Just put the camera on the diamond there and let's see the game. You know, I think in the end, it's very, you know, baseball still is a TV sport, and you know, we're gonna be watching our baseball on TV like most games anyway. So I mean, let's just kind of do it. And I'm kind of glad again. I think it would, Aaron, you kind of mentioned a softball tournament mentality, and I agree with you on that. It would have just had a softball tournament mentality. Not to mention, who knows what could have happened with the spread of this with a lot of players all in one place. We already had enough problems with it. So, agree.
Hold on. Are we going to let Coop get away with that? Just let that slide in.
What?
Baseball is a TV sport? Let's get this straight. There's a correct answer to this. Baseball is a live sport. Then It's best on radio and then television. So. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, you want to say, I'm not saying it's greater than, but it's not like hockey. Okay. Hockey is not a TV. Hockey is not a game for TV.
True story.
Yeah, that's the difference. I mean, I agree it's better. There's nothing better live. But, you know, a guy like me, for example, who's cut back on going to – before COVID, I had to cut back on going to major crowd events too. Thank God baseball is great on the radio and TV. Absolutely. So, you know, that's just kind of – but hockey's rough on TV. I'm going to tell you that straight up. Very rough to watch on TV.
What sport is that again? It's called hockey?
Hockey.
Yeah.
Hockey.
So the players go around on skates, Miguel, and they have sticks. They're not as cool as baseball bats, but they hit this black round thing, and they hit it around, and they try to get it into each other. It's kind of like soccer, but on ice.
Kind of like Disney on ice. I like that. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Disney on ice. There's a good. Yeah.
The comments of this panel do not reflect the whole story. All right. Last question for you guys on the 60-game sprint. Are we going to see a conclusion to the season?
Yes. You're going to make it to the end of the show, Cooper.
I mean, I'll make it to the end of the show. Yeah.
Yes.
You okay, man?
Yes. No, I kept telling you, the Mil Diaz is great. I just took a big puff of smoke, though, with it.
I think we will see the conclusion of the season. I think it's going to be exciting. I think the last couple weeks of the season are going to probably be barn burners, man. I think there's going to be some teams that are going to be fighting. I think it's going to be really, really exciting. And I hope people tune in and check out baseball. Maybe they've been tuned out for a couple of years or whatever. Tune in. It's going to be an interesting year.
I'd like to add on what Miguel said. I said the last week of the season, you may have an extended season because of tiebreakers. You're going to get 60 games. I can see teams. I can see a little log jam. I can see a log jam for these playoff spots. We may have 62 games, 63 games. We'll see.
Yeah. You may have to have a double tiebreaker in some cases. Break the tie break the division tie and break the wild card tie, kind of.
Have some playoffs, you know.
Yeah.
And then we could get a moment of baseball lore like Bobby Thompson's home run, man. The Giants win the pennant, baby. The Giants win the pennant. And Coop gets to eat a lot of crow.
Well, we'll get to our over-unders. I have some things to say about the Giants. You know. All right. So the whole black mark on this whole thing, the labor process was horrible. I mean, this whole thing, it was embarrassing to baseball. You know, I thought we were past this after 1994. But all this, you know, the labor tensions have heated up again. I'm not looking to put blame on everybody, is what I'll say. But I want to ask a question here. And then I know Bear's got a pretty good question to follow up. Commissioner, Rob Manfred, you got a vote of confidence in him after how he handled this.
I have no confidence in Manfred anymore. I don't like the way that, you know, he made it sound when it was, we're just playing for what, a trophy or whatever. I mean, I'm not a fan of the guy. I'm not a fan of the guy anymore. I look forward to his tenor coming to an end eventually.
Listen, this is Miguel who just said this, okay? Who is the most positive guy I know, okay?
Thank you.
Yeah, he just went after me. Good for you, Miguel. I'm in total agreement that you took my position on this exactly. Hector Alfonso, what do you think of our baseball commissioner and how he handled things?
I am completely over the league, the owners, and the commissioner. I think he's the worst commissioner since Ubaroff.
Ooh.
And I think the owners are shameful. And where at one time I used to side with the owners, after my COVID summer and reading plenty of books, you know, listening, I don't read anymore, but audio booking several baseball titles, especially Ball 4, and then seeing what they did last year to the minor leagues, where they pushed that thing through Congress, you know, they pushed that act through Congress to not give no benefits to the minor league players, and then canceling the minor league season. I could care less what happens to the owners. Oh, and of course the Mets are for sale, so you know we're going from one of the worst owners in baseball to a conglomerate with J-Lo and Alex Rodriguez. We're going to want to buy
that. They're saying Steve Cohen, though, maybe. We'll get to that a little bit. But, yeah. Steve Cohen may be the guy to get the Mets, they're saying. Businessman right now.
I used to think the players are greedy. I don't think the players are greedy anymore. I think the players are getting what I would want as well, because for years and years and years, the owners and the commissioner's office have screwed the players. What, you know, all you got to do is think back to what Bowie Kuhn what they did to Kurt Flood, and what they did to who's the offer of Ball 4? It can't come to me. It doesn't come to me right now. Jim Boughton, when they brought them in and, you know, told them your book is bad for baseball, and by the way, sign this that we didn't have this conversation. What they've strong-armed the players for 100 years. So you know what? Screw them. Screw the commissioner. Screw the ownership. Screw them all. I'm just glad we have 60 games.
Agree. Agree with you on that as well. Aaron, what about you?
Everything Miguel and Hector have said is on point. I don't really have much to add, so I would say yes. I said with the players.
Screw the umpires too.
Yes, agree with that.
Because he wants robot umpires. That's why.
But I mean, look, Manfred allowing all this stuff to be public is a horrible thing. You know, the commissioner is he works for the owners. He doesn't work for the players at all.
He's a tool.
Yeah. And it's just poor. I mean, you're like, I don't think it's very hard to be a, it wouldn't be very hard to be a great commissioner. I don't think the owners would hate you, but you could still be a great commissioner. You probably have a short tenure, but you know, you just don't let that stuff get out there. I mean, you just have those discussions internally. You guys, you know, you sort it out. You know, it's going to come to a conclusion at some point. You're not going to, in this day and age, you're not going to be able to strong arm one side versus the other, right? I mean, you used to be able to do that because the players had no rights at all. But now, once the player union came into fruition and all that stuff, that's not happening anymore. So I just thought it was bad form letting all that stuff come out. Because you get, you know, when it played out publicly, the court of public opinion is going to side with the players unless, you know, there's some small minority that probably is okay with the owners. But the owners just don't look good when you see all the stuff that goes on. And I just don't think it did anything good for baseball at that point. So I think he did a poor job there.
I agree as well. Agree with those
if
points.
You're going to be a strong commissioner, be a strong commissioner day one.
Yep.
Don't let this shit carry on for
yep.
these weeks. Yep. Either, if you're going to be the man, be the man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Carajo.
Okay, Bear, what about you?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of it's been said, but let's just take a moment to reflect about how crazy this world is, that COVID has turned us upside down, inside out, and right to front and front to back. The most positive person in the room, Miguel, is turning negative. Okay, don't want to talk politics, but conceivably one of the most conservative people in this room, Hector, is changing sides. I mean, it's crazy. This is just nuts. But I am thoroughly disappointed in the way baseball handled this. We were screaming. There were six of us, you know, with our respect to our colleague Rob, who's not being able to be with us tonight. Six of us were screaming at the top of our lungs at the very beginning of the season with our first preview, that this was the moment. This was the opportunity for baseball to capture America back. They were the ones, they were the ones on deck. They were the one, literally, okay, yes, I'm being punny here, but they were the ones on deck to ready to take over, start the season, give us something to cheer for, give us something to be happy about, give us something to be positive about. And then Rob Manfred just decides, like, let's just air out all this dirty laundry and let's just have a labor dispute in the middle of a pandemic because that's good for the game. And let's bitch and moan about the little nuances that no one really gives a shit about. And let's screw the players out of a bunch of money too. You know what? Yes. Do they get paid quite a sum of money? Absolutely. Would any of us kill for that for a tenth of their check? Absolutely. But genuinely trying to screw them out of money? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And they took a pay cut. They immediately volunteered to take a pay cut and then they wanted more from them. Good God.
Yeah.
What a piece of shit, man.
You know, I'm not a Rob Manfred fan. I wasn't a fan of his before a pandemic. Okay. Ultimately, I think Rob Manfred will be judged on like how much money he makes for the owners. Right. That's what happened with Faye Vincent. What killed Faye Vincent was he did a very bad TV deal with CBS in 1990, and I think that was the beginning of the end with him. So Manfred, it's the same thing, whether he makes money or not. Did a horrendous job during these negotiations. Tony Clark, on the player side, seemed he was way in over his head, too. I'll be honest with you. So I don't think he did a great job there. I think it's the blame to go all around as far as that goes. So I think we're all on the same page here. Now, Bear, you had an interesting spin with this question, and I think it was a pretty good question that we could go around with.
Yeah, no, I think it's a question because I think everyone in the panel is familiar with, and our audience at this point is familiar with my you know, as much as pissed off as I am at Rob Manfred, my loathsome disgust for his predecessor, Bud Selig, who's the worst human on the planet.
Stop it.
Dude, he called a baseball game a tie. Sorry. Unforgivable. Absolutely.
That's an all-star game.
Unforgivable, Coop.
They should have. Well, we're going to get the ties in a little bit, okay. By the way.
All right. So here's the question, though. Who was the last great commissioner? Because if we go all the way back to Kennesaw Mountain Landis, racist piece of shit. I mean, honestly, who was the last great commissioner of baseball?
All right. So we got Landis, Chandler, Frick, Ukert, Kuhn, Uberoth, Giamatti, Vincent, Selig, Manfred.
Did Did you just rattle that off from memory? Because that's so impressive.
No. I got a little list here, but I will tell you, I don't think we've had a great commissioner, in my opinion. I don't think we've had a great commissioner at all. I think Seely could have been something, and it all fell apart for him. But outside of that, I wouldn't say we've had a great commissioner.
Seely was better than I thought he was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I know Bear's
out
of fan.
I'm staring you down, Coop. I'm staring you down right now.
Listen, Seelig, I like some of the innovations he put in. I mean, his reign started out bad. He's responsible for the 95 season. That's on him as much as anyone. 94-95, I'll put that on him. But after that, I think he kept some of the innovations he put in work. I did not like the All-Star game thing. I'm not saying he was a great commissioner. I think Giamatti could have been that great commissioner, but obviously we'll never know that. He died too soon. But I think he had that, love of the game. I think Faye Vincent got in trouble with that TV contract, and then he went for a power play and he pissed off five of the owners. He pissed off Peter O'Malley, and that was the end of him. When he pissed off Peter O'Malley and Jerry Reinsdorf, you're done. So, yeah. So I kind of agree. I don't think we've had that great commissioner there. Maybe Happy Chandler, if you go that far back. But
gosh,
best name. Can we at least agree?
He was happy. He was happy. Yeah.
Happy Chandler.
Yeah.
You always do that shit during these shows. You always pull out, you were watching tape on Happy Channel. You're the good commissioner. you always get us with that, bro. Always get us with that.
You said Hector Ubroff was pretty bad, though.
Ubroff was a punk.
He wasn't a baseball guy. He wasn't a baseball guy was the problem. But,
I'll tell you.
If Giamatti doesn't pull a Pope John Paul I, who knows? But, he does.
Yeah.
And that's it. And there's nothing you can do.
Yep.
And look, when you think of the fact that just consider the way they hired Kuhn. They meet to get a commissioner. They meet to try to find a commissioner. And the owners look around and go, hey, that's our attorney in the room. Maybe we should make him the fucking commissioner. And that's how Bowie Kuhn. But Bowie Kuhn becomes commissioner. As long as the commissioner is a mark for the owners, there's never going to be any fairness in this. Never. You're never going to have a commissioner come from the other side. You can believe that.
Yep.
I mean, unless you want to make Bob Costas the commissioner, right? Which will never happen. Just like, I'll never be the president of the IPCPR. Right.
So the thing is, I think Costas has gone too far the other way now.
That's the problem. Yeah, I was going
to
say that too.
Whatever you think the players have done to ruin baseball doesn't compare to what the owners have done to the players over the last 100 years.
Let's march. I like that.
Yeah. Yep. All right. So, I think no vote of confidence for Mr. Robert Manfred, the commissioner of Major League Baseball here.
It looks like the ghost of Christmas past.
Yeah. A couple of other offshoots. The Toronto Blue Jays.
Wow.
You want to talk about the historic significance. The Toronto Blue Jays are a team without a home for 2020.
I got to tell you, mind-blowing the fact that they will not be able to play. Now, the last couple days have been very busy. I haven't kept up. I don't know what the latest news is right now, but I heard that Toronto's looking at Pittsburgh. I hear the minor league stadiums are not a choice. I thought maybe that they could look at Austin or Charlotte, places that MLB are looking to put a franchise in maybe in the future. I thought maybe Portland. Maybe they would test those markets out with the Blue Jays. But it looks like, man, can you imagine being a Blue Jays fan in Canada and you are not going to have your team, even though you're not going to see them, but you're not going to see them in that ballpark. Unreal.
So you said earlier today that they've already – No minor league parks will be used. What about that park where they do the College World Series? What is that? The one in Omaha. Is that not big enough to fit that? It doesn't matter. There's not going to be any fans on them and they're watching.
I don't think it's big enough.
The Charlotte issue was over lighting, is what I heard. And most of the minor league parks don't conform for lighting standards, which I didn't quite understand.
I heard the players did not want a minor league stadium because they want a major league amenity stadium. Yeah.
Okay.
That I could see that being a part of the problem. You know, again, you're not going to have – the locker rooms aren't the same quality. But, I mean, if they send – I mean, I was wondering, could they – you know, could they send them like to San Juan, Puerto Rico, like the Expos went that one year?
I think you it would be a health disaster.
Yeah, I was going to say, you want to go to Puerto Rico during all this?
And that – you know, that's a lot of extra flights, you know, stuff like that. So
I think what you're going to see happen – this is my opinion.
And you said
I think
Portland. Maybe Portland, not a good idea.
I think they're going to cohabitate with another major league team is what's going to happen.
I thought maybe they could play in Miami since Miami's looking for a major league team. You know what I mean? I haven't seen one in a long time.
I agree with you.
So I got a question for Bear. Are the Rangers in a new stadium this year or this next year? So is the ballpark at Arlington, is that already like starting demolished or what?
They're not demolishing it. They're actually – it's actually – they're turning it into an event venue. So, like
– Oh, okay.
Concerts. Thought,
depending on what the status of that stadium was, you have an opportunity to have like a – you know, it's an MLB stadium that's not being used.
Yeah. I think they've already renovated a lot of the amenities portion of it, though. Okay. Like, so that might be the issue.
Wow. Good coming, Aaron. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, I was just trying to think of any – if there was any team – you know, I think the Rangers are the only team I think is moving into a new stadium this year. So, I would just – that was an option if it was available. But I would assume they already had – if the new stadium was ready, they had probably already moved on to whatever they were doing with that one for something else.
Someone mentioned a football stadium to me. But I think the problem is they would have to do some retrofitting that there's not enough time to do.
Mm-hmm. Not enough time.
I think if they had time, they can probably have done it. But, no. I mean, when does this get resolved? The season starts in 2 days.
Well, their first home game isn't for like a week, I think, or something like that. So they were on the road for a little bit, I think. And then they have a little bit more
gonna,
time.
And they're going to be playing in that Eastern division. So they're going to want to keep them there. They're not going to want to ship them off to Texas.
Yeah.
Where, you know, the travel costs will be extraordinary. Or Portland, where there's no security for there'll be no security for the players.
Oh God. And that the travel to something on the West Coast or even the Midwest would be bad enough. Like Chicago is probably about as far West as you could go with them. Like I was thinking when you mentioned a football stadium, I was thinking Buffalo. It's like right across the way.
Yeah. And it's looking like Pittsburgh's PNC and Oriole Park are the front runners. And I guess some of the reports out of Canada are saying this should be resolved by the end of the week.
Wow. I feel bad for the Blue Jays players. This season's already messed up, and they're the only team that's going to have to deal with this crap. Feel bad for the Blue Jays. I hope they put together a good season for their fans.
I do, too. I mean, they're really, you know, they're Canada's team, I mean, too. So, certainly, despite what they did to my Phillies in 93, I do respect what, you know, they were the better team that beat us that year. And I always said that, so... you know, want them to do well.
Terrible.
Yep, terrible. And then we kind of hit on this one already. I think we all agree the cancellation of the minor leagues, absolute disaster. I don't care. I mean,
First of all, we're going to do away with some of the teams, and then we're not going to pay these guys. And hey, by the way, your season's canceled. I mean, if you're a minor league player, you are feeling like you are the redheaded stepchild of baseball. I feel bad. Those guys are fighting for their dreams to play, and they just keep getting hit and hit and hit. When is it going to end for those guys?
The problem the minor leagues have, though, is they don't have a TV. They have some radio, but they don't have – most of them don't have TV. So there was no way – I don't know what they could have done other than rely on the radio, and some may not have had any, you know, way to see the games.
Yeah.
So that's unfortunate, but I don't think baseball did anything to try to help the minor leagues is what I'm saying.
That's another opportunity for baseball.
They tried to fuck them. They fucked them last year. Why would they try to help them this year?
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That was my thing. But I think it was a very difficult situation with the minor leagues right now.
I mean, that was another opportunity for baseball to take center stage. How about, cutting a deal with Fox or Disney to – hey, let's cut a quick contract to
let's get
to
him on Disney
televise
Plus.
These games.
Let's get him on Disney Plus. Let's
get
him
on Disney Plus. Man.
Hey, I got something even easier. How about streaming the games?
Yeah.
For free. I mean, that would have been a wonderful thing. I understand you could still sell some advertising. It's better than nothing.
Yeah, I agree. And I'll be honest with you. I mean, obviously there was a you guys may not be a fan of this. I'm not a big fan of this, but maybe this year, you know, different teams get sponsored by different companies and their logo goes on the jersey just for this season, you know, just to help the teams out. It's a shame. The minor league system plays such an integral part to baseball. It's the NFL doesn't have it. NBA has a D-League. It's not even close. There is no other league that has this kind of feel to it. The minor leagues play such an important part in the
not even the sanctioned the major league minor league system, the industrial league, the Pecos league. You know, these other, you know, the Pacific league. You know, the Western league. You know, there's guys out there who you're ruining their dreams. You know, and. This is who are we going to blame? Oh, the commissioner's office and
Major League Baseball. Yep, 100%.
Yeah, not to mention all the jobs of everybody else that could work during this, you know.
Yeah, you're right, Bear. You're right. We didn't even mention those. All the people that rely on the minor leagues, the parking garages, the all the bars, the restaurants. We're talking there's a hell of a lot more minor league teams than there are major league teams.
Yeah, and like I said, downtown Charlotte really benefited from having the Knights play down there.
Oh, yeah.
They used to play in South Carolina. And don't get me wrong, it was much more convenient to go to South Carolina. But the Knights playing games in downtown Charlotte did a lot for business in downtown Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
So, I you know, I'm the one who lives in a minor league city. So, I could see the impact.
I live in Miami. What's a minor league city? What are you talking about?
That's semi-pro bowl. That's semi-pro bowl, Hector. That's a different story entirely. All right.
But, All right. They have they got a hell of a farm system.
They do.
That's going to be sitting home.
That's right. Working at Subway, wearing a mask.
Yep. All right. Let's get to some of the rule changes here. And there's a bunch of rule changes.
Oh, my God.
I think we're going to shit a lot over these. Let's start with the one. Let's start with the extra inning rule here and the man on second here.
What's next? Bat last out runs for the guy who runs for the fat guy on the team. Is that next after that? That's ridiculous.
This is like what shootouts did to hockey, like now what the college football video game type of thing. I do not like this at all. This is like, Bear, you've said it 100 times. Baseball's perfect. Why are we messing with this?
I was listening the probably 2 days ago, 3 days ago. No, probably 2 days ago. A little bit of the MLB channel on Sirius. And they were talking how outrageous this rule is. Like, okay, you can argue this season with the DH. You can argue some of these other things. But this is so out of left field, pun intended. It is just – it's outrageous. I mean, it's completely –
it's a softball rule.
It's a softball rule.
It's Little League softball.
Bush league.
Wiffle ball. This is wiffle ball.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I'm surprised that they haven't said, hey – Last out can run for the fattest guy on your team. That's what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that's missing. It's a softball rule.
What are
they going to start him? They're going to start him now with one strike when they come up the bat. Is that also coming up?
Look, it's going to make some interesting strategy. I'm not going to lie to you, but I don't like what it's doing to the game.
Is it the interesting strategy that's going to replace the fact that now that the DH is, you won't see any double switches or bunting anymore? Is that what they're doing?
Oh, yeah. I worry that they may look at this and say, what a great idea this is. Let's put it in as a permanent rule. I mean, no. If there was
Next thing you know, we're going to have robot umpires, for God's sake.
Right.
Jesus Christ. Aaron's going to be like the dark old.
Aaron's Christmas morning come true.
The Sith.
That would solve one of these other problems on this list. So don't dig at it too hard.
Yes, sir. I think I stole it from Rob or Aaron. I can't remember who I stole it with a comment from Joe West, where Joe West says, what was that comment, Aaron, about Joe West says that I think that.
Oh, if Joe West says you're safe, you know, you're out or something like that.
You're probably not.
You're probably not safe. Yeah. If Joe West says you're safe, you're probably not safe.
I mean, that's
low, man. It's so fucked up.
I never thought I'd see this in my lifetime. This is absolutely, I understand safety and protocols. Bear, you're going to disagree with me. I would have rather had a tie than have this. If they're worried about like games going on, I'd rather have a tie.
This is what happens when you allow tradition – you start chipping away at tradition, like the DH. That's what happens when you start doing this.
All goes back to the American League. It's a slippery slope. I agree with you, Hector. You give them a little bit, and they take a foot. It all started with the DH.
Well, you know, like I know we've talked about the DH on the last show. You know my feelings on the DH. I like the two rules. I don't like and I'm a National League guy, and I don't like the fact that DH is coming to the National League this year at all.
I agree.
And I think, you know,
I can live with it for one season. I don't like it.
I can live with it. I live with it. We live with it during interleague play. All right. Yeah. So yeah.
Listen. The DH is going to help my squad. I got a guy that can't field that's going to hit. That's going to be great. I got Cespedes who couldn't get old.
I agree with you, Hector. It absolutely is going to help the Mets. I totally.
The only guy on the team not worried about catching COVID. He can't catch, so he's going to get the DH. But, you know, it's I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like the fact that there's not going to be any more double switches. You're not going to see any more bunting. You're going to see a lack of that late inning strategery, as President Bush used to say. You're gonna see a whole bunch of these things change. Like, and you know what? We're not gonna care because it's 60 games. It's gonna go by so quick that we won't have this big group to you know, this vast number of games to criticize. It's gonna be 60. That's gonna be out.
Yeah.
But I don't like it. I don't like it.
Oh, I on the MLB channel XMM or whatever it is, you know, the radio thing, Sirius XM, they were saying that, like, some ridiculous number, I don't know, can't quote me, but it's like 90% of games that go to extra innings end in the 10th inning anyways.
Right, that's what kind of
– such a small percentage go any longer than that, so I don't get it, you know. And they can't say COVID. I mean, they're already on the field, for God's sake. You know what I mean?
You think about the sacrifice flies and stuff like that. It's just – I don't like it. It's – plus, I think these games – it could actually lengthen some of the games, Miguel, for the reasons you said.
Yeah.
I think it could lengthen them because you get – you know, hey, it's a couple of sacrifice fly. You get a sacrifice fly, run scores, and someone ties it up again, and it kind of goes back and forth. Yeah. I think this could backfire. I'm hoping this is just something I am not looking forward to whatsoever.
Yeah.
I can't see anything good coming out of it.
I agree.
All right. This is a good – this next one actually I thought was a good change in that they're not going to put the restrictions on position players pitching in 2020. So basically they made a rule, I think, during the offseason that was going to require teams to designate every player on the active roster as either a pitcher or a position player, and position players would have been unable to pitch unless it was extra innings, their team was ahead or trailing by more than 6 runs, or they would have had to qualify for the two-way designation. I kind of like this rule. Like, I think I don't like that change. I want to keep it the way it is. Again, being the traditionalist I am.
This – I could care less about that. I really do. I don't like to see non-pitchers pitch, to be honest.
Well, Gabe Kapler does.
That's Gabe Kapler, but you know, it was cute. It was cute when Charlie Finley wanted Burke Campaneris to play every position.
Right, you know? Right. Yeah, I agree.
You know what? That's, you know, these games mean too much. There's 60 games, and I don't want to sound like that guy, but every one of these games matters. Okay, it's 60 games.
Yeah,
you're not wrong.
Yeah, it's not that old. You know, we have some games that we're gonna lose. Yeah. You have 60 games. You can't throw any game.
Yeah. All right? Yeah.
And not every team has a Jose Oquendo who can do everything. You know.
Yep.
Boy, why isn't he a manager yet? By the way, that's a surprise. He's got to tell you he'd be a manager by now. Former Met, by the way, Hector.
Former
everybody's
Met.
Everybody's a former Met.
Yep.
good ones anyway.
Yep. Suspended games.
Hold on.
What?
Are you skipping over them? You're not going in order?
I skip one?
You skipped the three-batter rule.
Oh, I skipped the three-batter rule. Yes, I did. The three-batter rule. I hated that.
This is a horrible rule.
This is a horrible rule. I don't
– This is like
– This was, by the way, a pre-COVID rule that was put in.
Yeah, and this is to speed up the game bullshit that – real fans don't care about. This is for TV, all that kind of stuff. This is just like, you know, as people figure out strategies and stuff like that, they're trying to make rules so that you can't, you know, you can't advance the game. You know, next they're going to try to outlaw the shift because people have figured out how to, you know, take an advantage. Things will swing back as people figure out how to go against these things. Like,
right.
How many times do you see somebody switch out a pitcher and the bases are loaded and dude hits a slam off the reliever you bring in? You know, that doesn't mean that he's going to be a perfect match just because you're going to go lefty-lefty, righty-righty, whatever it is. It doesn't work that way. I mean, it's a silly thing. You know, I think it's going to swing games a lot further than they need to be if a guy just doesn't have it that night. You know, he's got to go, you know, what are they going to – is he going to just like – he messes up to the first guy and they're going to walk the next two guys right off the bat so they can get him right out.
Yeah, what happens when Edwin Diaz comes in and doesn't have it, which is going to happen.
Right.
And then, you know, now he doesn't have it for the first – now you got to walk, the bases loaded. You've completely put a guy like the former Dennis Cook out of business. You've erased his career. The left-handed specialist is gone.
Yep.
For that rule.
Yeah, like to quote Billy Beane, I don't care about righty-lefty. Right. You know, it doesn't necessarily matter in today's game, man. And this, I'm glad we didn't skip over this because this kind of goes into the opinion on the last subject of it. You know, this, the extra runner on second bullshit rule is going to lengthen the game. It is going to backfire.
I agree.
You're 100% right on that. This is also going to backfire too. This is also going to backfire too because. They talk about the whole idea of the specialist, especially the way that if we want to use the word overused, right, was to preserve, it was a strategy in place, but it was also to preserve the health of pitchers too, you know, so that relievers could pitch on multiple days. If you have a guy in there hanging in there for three batters, especially if, you know, let's just say it's one of these epic battles of, you know, on the first batter, where, I mean, forget the guy getting slammed off of him or something like that. What if that batter, you know, fouls off 12, 15 pitches? And then he's got to throw 15 more to get the next two guys or at least through the next two guys. That's 30 pitches. That's an outing for a reliever. Now he can't pitch 2 days in a row. Thank you, new rule.
Mm-hmm. I got a question, boys, and I don't know the answer to this. Are these rules for the entire season and postseason?
That's a good question. So.
I believe they are.
Yeah,
I'd have to double check that, but I believe they are.
Yeah, because I think for the World Series, that would be terrible.
For playoff baseball, it's gonna be absolutely horrendous, man. Just absolutely horrendous.
Look, you know, there's two types of rule changes that we've seen over the years, right? There's like, okay, wild card interleague play, didn't love it, right? But these rules are kind of touching the mechanics of the game itself.
Yep.
Yeah.
This is why I have a problem with these changes.
It didn't wild card and interleague play didn't touch the pathology of the game. It didn't change the game. The game was still played. You just played in American League Park. You play the age, but it didn't change the game. These are changing the game. I can just see. I can imagine somewhere in these 60 games, there is going to be one of those box scores where you're going to have a team that's left on the field. In an extra inning game where the guy got put on second, sacrifice fly in a wild pitch, and the guy run, and they're going to lose the game. They're going to get left on the field over some stupid shit like that. I think that is incredibly stupid. It's a softball rule. What's next? The keg in the dugout?
I'm really hot on it. I agree.
Yeah, you know, a keg in the dugout. That's the next one.
Yep.
These rules are just commensurate with what baseball's done this whole year, in this whole last year.
Management. Like I said, I put a lot of this on our commissioner. If we had more of a commissioner who understood baseball, I don't think these rules would be being pushed through. It doesn't matter.
I think we're all on the same page. It doesn't matter if it's a commissioner, was a rotisserie fanatic or a cybermetric guy. It doesn't matter as long as the commissioner works for the owners. This is always going to be our problem.
How does this make the owners more money, though? How does this make the owners more money, though? The three batter rule.
They can speed up the. They think they can speed up the game, and I think they want to do that.
But it's moronic, Aaron. It's not going to speed up the game.
I know. They have to. That's why they have to see it. Instead of doing this stuff in the minor leagues, where they can see what it does, not on the big stage. You know, they're trying to push it through in the major leagues.
They canceled the stage for it. Yep. They canceled the stage for it.
This is an audition for the TV contract.
Yeah.
This is what it is. I mean, the TV contract's already been negotiated. That's what, but for the next one, hey, look what we've done. And someone's convinced that this is going to make baseball more exciting. Like, I hate the college football overtime rule. I don't want to debate it here. I hate it. Those scores go inflated. Those inflated scores are like a video game. I don't want to see something like that with baseball. I don't want to see these inflated extra inning scores coming up. I also think it's unfair to the pitchers in a lot of ways, you know?
It is 100% unfair.
Yeah.
The health of, if they're worried about the health of players,
right,
which they claim to so be in tune to,
yep,
this is absolutely atrocious for the health of pitchers.
Yeah, I agree.
And actually, I mean, and for position players too. I mean, because they're out there as well.
Yeah.
Batters are going to be taking more at bats, and you know, at least, you know, batters might develop a little bit more because they'll get to see more pitches and more pitchers. And no, actually, no, I take it back, because they'll see less pitchers because they have to face the same guy because he's forced to stay in there longer. So I stand corrected.
Yep.
My team has an awful bullpen. That rule's going to kill us.
Well, at least you have pitching.
I'm telling you right now.
Well, it absolutely is gonna affect the Mets. Sure. There's no question. It's unfortunate it's gonna affect the Mets. Yeah. All right. I want to hit this one. I actually did go out of order here, but let's go back into the order. The unsportsmanlike conduct rule. Right. So you're not gonna be able to go out, and you're not gonna be able to argue. You're not gonna have. Supposedly, you're not gonna have managers being able to argue with umps.
Great idea.
It's a terrible idea.
It's a fantastic idea.
Stop. Why? This is part of the game.
It's not. It's
only a part of the game. Come on.
They allow it to continue to be a bad part of the game.
There was nothing better than when Charlie Manuel would go out there and argue, right? I loved it. I love when Charlie would get mad at the umps.
And listen, if we're talking about social distancing, Charlie Manuel would social distance. The 6-foot gut on that guy, he was going to be spaced out from the umpire just fine. He could argue as many calls as he wants.
Yeah, you just don't want a Roberto Alomar situation here with umpire.
No, and I agree. But let me ask you a question. Does the social distancing affect the managers going to the bullpen? I mean, not the mound. I thought I saw something on that. Are the managers now going to be limited how many times they – or coaches limited the amount of times they go to the mound? Is anything changing with that?
Well, it depends.
If they're wearing masks, I think they'd be okay.
Okay.
And that's a good thing. They don't have to cover their mouths when they're talking.
Yeah.
I saw Dusty today doing an interview, and he had a mask on during the interview.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, it's hard. It's hard with that. You know, you're out in the heat and stuff like that. The mask is going to get sweaty. Mask hygiene does concern me. That's a side issue. I don't want to debate that. But, yeah, it's going to be a challenge, I think, once you get into some of these games in the heat of summer, for sure. So you guys like that. You guys think this is something good?
No. I'm with you, Coop.
There you go.
I'm with you.
Yeah. I want to see, you know, and like I said, I think that's something that, like, I was joking around in the notes. This a guy like Gabe Kapler was probably loving this rule because he never wanted to argue with the umps. He didn't get thrown out of a game until the midway through the second
year.
I was
with you, Coop, and you had to – God damn it.
Yeah. Well, I'm being honest here.
No, for anybody keeping score at home, that's three.
There's plenty more coming, trust me.
Aaron, you should hate this rule, and I'll tell you why. Okay, you listening? All right?
Yeah, I'm listening. Let's go.
Okay, you should hate this rule, and I'll tell you why. If managers and people aren't allowed to argue with the umps, it's going to make more there's going to be a resulting more bad calls, which you hate, because they're not going to be allowed to argue. Umpires will have no fear.
All right. Give me a second here. The arguing doesn't solve anything.
Just for future calls?
No, an argument has never overturned.
It doesn't overturn it for future calls, though.
What? Because you think, now I need to pay more attention because this guy's on me about this one?
Yeah, I fucked
That's
up.
That's why if you just had robots doing it and it was right every time, there wouldn't be an issue.
This isn't a robot thing. We're not going there. I'm saying what you hate is when umpires get it wrong. That's what I'm arguing. Okay, umpires getting it wrong.
Here's the deal. If the umpires were – it's a completely separate topic. If the umpires were actually rated and their salary was based on their percentage of calls they got right, they would get them right.
Absolutely.
I don't disagree with you. I don't think that's a bad idea.
Let's put some rule changes into place for the umpires. That's at least that way.
Umpire strike if that happens, Aaron.
Hey, Good. The robots come in and they don't have a job anymore. They can strike all they want.
Aaron, the only thing I'll say is conceptually I do understand it, but has it worked in the NFL? Like every year we hear about the old, like, refereeing's a mess in the NFL.
Yeah, but at least there's consequences in the NFL. When a guy calls it, when he fucks up a play, there's consequences.
Look, here's the deal. In the NFL, you would have three flags on every play, and you would never get anything done. The play is dirty, completely dirty. So you're not getting any clean plays in the NFL. So you got to have a blind eye to a certain amount of stuff in the NFL. It doesn't work that way. Hmm. If you had analysis of you know, plays in football, you'd catch so much stuff if you had something like watching every, like,
they're holding on line every play.
Yeah.
They're holding pass interference
on almost every play, offensive and defensive.
Well, they're calling pass interference on every fucking play anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. They just have too many rules.
Yeah, I agree. I agree on that part.
Bring back the dead ball.
Yep.
Yeah. I remember watching the baseball documentary and somebody said Major League Baseball hasn't done anything to help the pitchers in, what is it, 60 since they, you know,
lowered the mound.
Since they lowered the mound. Yeah. So.
That's very true.
How about this rule? The suspended game changes. So if weather's forcing a game to be cut short before it's technically an official game, it's going to be continued at a later date rather than started from scratch.
That doesn't solve the problem about more contact. Again, if we're talking about health of players.
That's kind of where I went back with it, yeah.
They're so ass backwards on all this stuff, man. It's so ridiculous. They're so contradictory on everything.
The only thing I could see with this rule is because of the tighter schedule.
Yeah, because they need to be able to complete it quicker.
That's the only reason I could see. But this rule, I'm hoping it's just a one-time thing we're going to see for that reason. But I agree with you. I agree. It's not going to solve the contact problem.
Okay. The only teams that's going to affect are the winning teams. You got if you have a Ranger Mariners game or Ranger White Sox game that has no bearing on the playoff, they're not going to finish that game. They're not going to go back and play that game.
No,
yeah, but
no.
See, the records are going to be so tight this year. It's going to be hard to determine when that is.
I hope so. You know, that's the only thing I'm really hoping for, that there's a log jam going into the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, when we get to the over unders, you're going to see how tight this year. The amount of wins is just compressed. Yeah. All right, the last one, and I heard I know Scott was in the chat room. He mentioned this, the wet rag rule. So basically, pitchers are going to be allowed to carry a small wet rag in their back pocket to be used for moisture in lieu of licking their fingers. Pitchers will not be able to access the rag while on the rubber, and they must clearly wipe their fingers on the pitching hand before touching the ball or the rubber. Water is the only substance that will be allowed on the rag. This is going to be a very interesting rule, I think. It's one that's going to – I think it's going to come – you're going to see some controversy around this one.
Spitball is back.
Yeah,
yep.
Baby.
Gaylord Perry and Jim Perry are
this one
Gaylord
is...
Perry is laughing.
Yep. Exactly.
You think the balls have movement now.
Oh, my goodness.
You're going to see a 10-inch slider this year.
Yeah.
Watch.
Yeah.
So I go back to the 1995 World Series, gentlemen. Oral Hershiser's pitching for the Indians against the Braves. Obviously didn't do any good. The Braves ended up winning. But they actually even talked about this on air, and I remember seeing Oral Hershiser do this between innings. So he would take a bottle of water to cool down, and he would drench his head and a towel, and he would sit in the dugout with a wet rag to cool down in October in Cleveland. Okay. And he would say that the residual moisture from his, you know, from his hair, that he would use that to get a better grip on the ball and stuff. Man, come on. This is going to get nasty. Are they going to be inspecting the rag like between innings to make sure it's water? Are they going to be smelling it? You know, are there going to be some chemical test on make sure it's water?
Instead of banging trash cans, it's going to be snapping wet rags.
Yeah. I mean, there's just we've all played baseball at some level, right? All of us have, like, mm-hmm. Little League or something. I mean, baseball players spit. And baseball players lick their fingers. I mean, it's part of their – like, you're talking about changing the psyche of a player. I mean, they're
That's what it's going to get interesting. You're going to see managers challenging stuff.
You're talking about the PG stuff, the cup adjustment, the nut juggle, the you know, the pulling his pants out of his ass. Baseball players are disgusting. But, you know, they are. We're disgusting.
Yeah.
You know, are they going to be allowed to chew sunflower seeds? Are they going to be allowed?
No, there's no seeds. There's no seeds.
Is there tobacco?
No.
No tobacco.
There's nothing.
There's no gum.
There's nothing. I mean,
this is how they play baseball all their life. I mean, exactly. And then what are you going to do if a manager sees something going on and is going to challenge the ump? And they can't run out. They can't argue with the ump now. I mean,
they're all going to get a flag they can throw.
They're going to get bullhorns. They're all getting bullhorns. The Earl Weaver model. They're just going to, hey, what the hell?
Yeah. Yeah.
So now that's going to change a whole bunch of shit in the dugout. No more hot foots. You're not going to see any more hot foots in the dugout.
Can you imagine the guys going in, calling into New York to see if this guy rubbed the wet towel to his thing? I mean, are they going to be able to challenge that? I mean, it's going to be such a mess.
Yeah, it's a shit show, man.
Now, I understand why they're doing it. I think everyone understands why they're doing this.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So, like, I mean, it's
– I will tell you guys, you know, I'm out here traveling right now for the Traveling Road Show. Just like anything else in life, when I go to the grocery store now, there is a level of danger, responsibility that you have to balance. And if you're a player and if these little things are going to make you not want to play, then you probably should sit out the season.
Yep.
These are things that are part of baseball. That's just the way it is, man. You know, I mean, think about basketball when they're backing into each other and their sweat is going everywhere. And I mean, it's part of sports. So if you're that uncomfortable, I think as the players, you probably should sit out this season. And you have to take a level. There's going to be a level of responsibility that you just have to take.
Make no mistake. There's going to be seeds. There's going to be tobacco. There's just going to be a lot of swallowing.
What are we talking about?
Exactly. I was wondering who was going to chime in there. Thank you.
They're playing games in Chatsworth or what?
I posted a picture today on your page, Coop.
Oh, I loved it. The Dick Allen, yeah.
Will we ever see that again?
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Will we ever see, you know, Dick Allen walking in the dugout with a cigarette in his mouth?
Yeah.
You know, it's
oh, crazy. I miss Jim Leland. I mean, Jack McKeon with the cigar.
Jim
Leland with the cigarettes.
Jim Fregosi would chain smoke in the dugout. I mean, that was, you know.
God love baseball. Isn't it great?
Yep.
I mean, you know, and if Bobby V was still in the league, you know, the mustache, that's going to come in con. How do you wear the mask? They should have the mask with the mustache.
That would be great. Yeah.
If I can find that, I'm going to have to find that. The mustache mask. I'm going to have to wear that.
The Yankees won't have to worry about that.
I may have to get Bobby V to do a video just to answer that question. That would be worth paying it for that.
There you go.
All right. So – normally we go through all the teams in baseball. We didn't do it because mainly because things are just so in flux right now. But what I wanted to do at least is go through our five teams that we're fans of and kind of get everyone's expectations on their team this year. So let's start with Hector Alfonso and the Mets this year. Hector, give us what you think the Mets are going to do this year and how things are going to wind up for them.
The Mets, their strength of the team is their pitching staff. I like their pitching staff 1 through 3. I'm okay with 4. Not crazy about 5. The bullpen, Mats is going to be a monster, I think, in the bullpen. But I'm not crazy about Betances. I don't know if Betances is going to have it. And Edwin Diaz still scares the shit out of me, you know. I think the Mets, you know, look, I ragged on Cano a lot last year, but Cano had a great second half of the season. You know, I think that I would like to see the Mets use the DH to help their players out a little bit. Look, Jeff Lowry is already back. Jeff Lowry's not playing. He's going to end up being one of the worst signings the Mets ever had. Where they spent $10 million on this guy, who I thought was a great player with Oakland, and he's only, I think he, what, 16 games for the Mets in total. He's injured again. He's not going to play. But they have some problems. Cano is almost 40 years old. You know, Cespedes coming back from the injury. I think they've got Ike Smith. They've got a couple of good players that I think they're going to be able to shuffle around in the DH spot. I think the Mets, I mean, even though they didn't show it this last week, I think the Mets are going to hit. But again, the biggest problem with the Mets will be their defense. The defense will let them down. You know, they went ahead and acquired the pitcher from Toronto last year. It was a ground ball pitcher. The Mets had the worst infield in baseball. And, you know, and they have a catcher who can hit but can't throw anybody out. So defensively, that's going to be the Mets' Achilles heel. Their defense is going to let them down. I think DeGrom is still a fantastic pitcher. We're going to miss Thor. It's a positive sign. Got a rookie manager. But, you know, it's the bullpen. It's the bullpen and the defense. I think they'll hit. And I think they'll pitch. I just think they, you know, that's just going to be what lets me down at the end of the year. Their defensive struggles and their bullpen.
Are they in the postseason? I think that's an important question.
Right now I don't have. As a fan, I'm going to tell you yes. Yeah, the Mets are going to make the wild card. As a fan, I think they have enough. They have enough talent, enough hitting, and enough pitching to make it to postseason. I don't think they will. I think, you know, the Braves are good, and that selection that they're playing against, some tough teams, man. They got to play the Yankees. They got to play, you know, they got to play the Nationals. They got to play the Braves. The Braves ended up going elsewhere, right? The Braves are in the other mm-hmm. conference. It's going to be a little tough for them. They got to play Philadelphia. It's going to be tough. I think they're going to be right on the cusp. A break here, a break there, they could make the playoffs, but I don't think this is their year. But I'd like to see them finish 500. That would be an improvement. That would be something to at least look forward to next year, especially with a rookie manager.
What are your thoughts on the manager?
I wanted Beltran to manage the team. Mm-hmm. I wanted Beltran to manage the team.
Right.
Former Met, you know, fan favorite, you know, players like them. But listen, you can't, if you're a true believer in lineage, I think that, you know, this kid could be the future of the New York Mets.
I think he was a couple years early. I think he needed a couple more years, but yeah, I agree with you. Early. Yeah. I think he was a guy. Certainly I was looking
at.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, this, even though he might have been called up a couple of years early, this year and what they're going through this year is definitely going to harden him. It's going to be a great learning experience to this whole COVID thing and the league change and the amount of games and all the changes that are this year. I think that'll help him going into next year. I think he's going to be a good manager.
I think so too. I think he'll have a couple of rookie manager mistakes. I mean, but I don't think it's going
to
be
at least he's not going to make the ones that usually kill managers, which is when to bat for your pitcher and when to do double switches. Those things are no longer part of baseball. You know, his biggest concern will be to make sure his pitchers are right and who he's going to DH.
I agree with you on that. All right, Miguel, before I kind of get to you next, I just want to comment. Mil Diaz, this is a fantastic cigar. This is like, I guess I say this – I love how I'm getting both the Nicaraguan flair of this cigar and I'm getting some of that Peruvian sweetness and some of those herbal qualities of the Peruvian tobacco. It's a really, really nice cigar. People are going to be really happy with this cigar.
Yeah, man, we're very proud of it.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, I think we have a consensus in our office for the first time. We're all on the same page on this cigar. So next month at Chips, and I hope the people out there enjoy it as much as we enjoyed working on it for the last 3 years.
Yeah, this is a really nice cigar. I'm very, very, very happy with it. I think, like I said, this is fantastic. Great job by your team and the Ace Prime team and the Pachardo team, of course, coming together with that.
Thank you so much, brother.
Am I the only one in the room who, before I read the press release, that thought that they named a cigar after Miguel? I was so excited for you, Miguel. I was like, oh, this is really cool.
The next release is after Miguel.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm going to be lining up next.
Look at this guy.
Hey, I saw that guy. Hey, hold on. Hey, Nish, I saw that guy last week.
Hey, Nish.
Unfortunately, I'm smoking one of these bad boys.
That's a good cigar.
That's a good cigar.
Cigar. Yeah. Good cigar. I like that cigar in the 60. Yeah.
Hey, Miguel, we don't need any nip slips tonight, man.
Oh. Sorry. Yeah, we may have a new panel. By the way, you guys might be replaced as a panelist. Some of you guys.
I saw Aaron. Aaron caught what I was doing, right?
Yeah.
All right. Or Miguel, what about your Cincinnati Reds?
All right. So I am – it's so hard for me to separate my fandom with reality. I've always had a very hard time separating the two. My Cincinnati Reds have the easiest schedule. They went through all the schedules. They rated the easiest to the hardest. Cincinnati has the easiest schedule. I think Sonny Gray, Luis Castillo, Trevor Bauer, Wade Miley, Anthony Discofani, I think we have a solid rotation. I would love to think – I'd love to get Aaron's input on our rotation here. But I think the Reds are – mark my word, 34 wins, 26 losses – I think we win the division. Worst case scenario, we're a wild card. I think this year our rotation in our team, Joey's looking great. I am excited about this year, man. I'm really, really excited about this year. 34 and 26, we are in the postseason. I think we have the possibility of winning our division.
Wow. Wow.
I would love, because I know Aaron, he's so good with pitchers. Aaron, what do you think, man? Anthony Discofani, Wade Miley. We've got, you know, Trevor Bauer.
Sonny Gray was reinvented there. Yeah, Sonny Gray. Yep.
I think you guys are in a good spot with the pitching. You know, I like Luis Castillo a lot. I just hope hope last year's pitcher is the one we see going forward. Yeah. I hope he doesn't kind of revert back to what he was doing a couple years before where he was hit or miss. If he's locked in like he was last year, solid staff, man.
Thank you.
What is the name of that young rookie that you guys brought up last year?
The Punisher, Aquino.
Yeah, but he's not even on the roster, right?
He's not even on the roster.
Yeah.
He can hit a long ball, but he's striking out way too much. The second half of the season was atrocious, but he'll eventually get caught up sometime this season, but
Even with the expanded rosters, he's not on the expanded roster.
He changed his name. His real name was Pedro Serrano. And he changed it.
Pedro Serrano Jr. You throw him in basketball, you're gonna pay
him
for
him and Joe Boo. So Joe Boo's got him crazy, right? Is what you're saying.
That's right.
That is
awesome. Joe Boo's not helping him with the curve.
That is exactly right.
The Reds, you know, as an outsider, not a follower of the Reds, the Reds do have a nice young team, and I think their pitching staff is actually looks like it's going to be something to contend with. And you know, having an easy schedule, man. You know what? It's not your fault. You didn't pick your schedule. That's the schedule. You go with what you got.
That's the schedule. And look, think about some of the teams we have to play. We're starting the season against Detroit. Look, I think we have some really good opportunities to really have a solid season.
I agree.
I haven't looked at the schedule, but if what we talked about in the first hour, if you're starting the season with Detroit and then you catch maybe the White Sox or like that's a team that could start 10-1. You know, they could start 10-1 and then now you're playing catch up, you know.
White
what I mean?
Sox have a decent roster, man. Yeah. They have a good roster.
Yeah. I agree with you on that one as well.
Don Moncada, Tim Anderson, those guys are legit ballers, man.
Yeah,
that's a good team.
I just use it as the first team that came to mind. But I mean, if they're playing Detroit and they catch the Rangers, and you know, they could start off and they could be a problem.
Yeah, no, I agree, and I like the manager. I know we went through some bumps last year for rookie manager, but I think David Bell's paid his dues in the league for a long time, and I think he certainly deserves to see if he can advance his team in his sophomore year.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I like it. So, yeah, I think you got some – when we get to the over-unders, I think it'll be interesting to see where the Reds – I know where the Reds lie, so we'll talk about that. Aaron, Oakland A's. You might have the best
play – you could just play the tape from what I said last year. And
last year.
Probably work. No, I mean, you know, the way the A's are built and their whole mentality, the organization, they don't really give a fuck about whatever. Like, they're going to go out there. They're going to do their thing. They just need to sneak into the playoffs and see if they can catch magic in a bottle at the end. And if it works, it works. But, you know, they've got some young pitchers that are – well, one of them's not healthy now. But, you know, they got some stuff to work on. I think the big thing is how Chris Davis plays this year. Like, he hurt his hip last year, and then he was garbage the rest of the year. It just wasn't the same guy. So if he's actually healthy, he'll help drive that team. They got good offense and stuff like that. They can play. They're not in a – you know, other than the Astros, they're not in a division that's a bunch of world beaters. And, you know, playing other West Coast teams, you know, there's not a lot of good teams on the West Coast, at least right now. So I think they'll just do it. You know, they're just going to stay what they're doing. You know, they'll play and they'll be in it at the end, and they'll just kind of figure out if they can, you know, like I said, catch magic in a bottle at the end and do something.
Yeah, the only thing is Bob Melvin, he reminds me, his team, he's more of a manager. He seems like he's in it for the long haul. Like last year, they got off to a really slow start, and look how they came on in the second half. That's kind of been his, you know, MO.
So in the short season, that could be the Achilles heel. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think Melvin's been doing a good job at making the adjustments, so he's going to have a much compressed window, as many managers are going to have this year. So yeah. Don't think it's unique, but I think it's something worth watching for sure.
Sure, yep.
Okay, Bear.
Well, Coop, since you keep rubbing it in my face how you're enjoying that Mel Diaz, I just want to just say that I've lit up the psychedelic turtle now, and it's just – awesome. You're really missing out on this this Espinosa exclusive cigar dojo. I'm just really enjoying it, and hope you can catch the aroma from across the screen.
Well, you know, listen, everyone who smoked that cigar has had positive things to say about it.
No, it really is. Hector, well done. Major props.
I went to dojo really headquarters. I couldn't even get one, so let's give you –
Thank you. Yeah. Hey, listen, not to interrupt. If I could interrupt for just a second, Bear, Miguel starts the season with 7 games against the Tigers. 7 out of the first 10 games are against the Tigers. I get 7 out of the first 11 games against the Braves.
And we have the Yankees in there. I know we have the Yankees in there.
7 out of his first 10 games are against the Tigers. All right?
And I got the Braves. 7-3, baby. Yeah.
And they got the Cubs. They got the Cubs in between them.
Right.
And, you know, and I get the Braves, the Red Sox, the Braves, and then the Nationals.
Yep.
So I could be.
Wow.
You might not want to talk to me for the first couple of weeks of the season.
Right.
Oh, man.
All right, Bear.
Well, there's not much to talk about, guys.
It's true. Don't forget, he started off the day by saying he cried when the lineup came on. Mookie Betts is not on there anymore.
Yeah, Mookie Betts isn't gone, man. I'm a big Mookie fan, and you guys know how sad I was when he got traded. Although that trade's not looking so bad now.
Oh, I know. And you look at that exactly.
Yeah, David Price sitting out the season. They're potentially only getting 60 games of Mookie. I mean, it's looking pretty good.
Was Verdugo in that starting lineup?
Yes. Yeah, he
is. Yeah, he won't be in there when they actually play. But go ahead.
But the lineup card looks pretty good. I mean, if you look at the guys playing the field, and if you look at the lineup, I mean, you've got great hitters. You've got Xander Bogaerts, Devers, Andrew Benintendi, you know, Martinez. Christian Vasquez behind the plate. Yeah, JD Martinez, of course. I mean, the lineup is going to be great. It's going to be really stellar to watch that team play. It's the fact is we're just going to lose a lot of games, 10-8, 11-10, 12-9, because we have absolutely, positively, I'm so jealous of Hector, we have no pitching whatsoever. It is absolutely atrocious. I haven't seen a starting rotation this bad since Henry Rowland Gardner was, you know, pitching with the Chicago Cubs back in the 90s. I mean, it's just bad.
Who's the opening day starter?
You could be the Marlins pitching staff.
Nathan Eovaldi.
Former Marlin. Former Marlin.
You could be the Marlins pitching staff. It ain't that bad.
Well, let's just keep this in focus, you gentlemen.
The when you've won a few World Series in the last 10 years, you're only allowed to bitch so much.
Yeah. I no, listen. I'm excited about baseball, but I'm realistic about my team. I mean, guys, we've done the show for a couple of years now. I rarely pick my team to win. I usually pick them in the wild card, and that was when they were good. You know, I'm a realistic fan for the most part. I try to be as much as possible, but the starting rotation is soft. The bullpen is even worse. Brandon Workman's our closer. Matt Barnes is probably our best reliever, is in the setup spot. But I mean, who's excited about Matt Barnes? I mean, nobody really. I mean, you got Keith Embry, Colton Brewer, Ryan Brazier. I mean, these are names that that would barely make any other roster, and they're in our bullpen, and they're premier bullpen guys. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Our starting rotation looks like this: Nathan Eovaldi, Eduardo Rodriguez coming back from injury, Martin Perez, Ryan Weber, and Brian Johnson. Let's make no bones about it. I'm an E-Rod fan, and I like Martin Perez a lot. I liked him. I watched him pitch a lot here in Texas. I think the guy has – he showed really early promise. He had Tommy John surgery, which kind of set him back, obviously. Nathan Eovaldi's had Tommy John so many times, they're going to change the name of the surgery from Tommy John to Nathan Eovaldi. These are good pitchers. And if Martin Perez was my fourth or fifth starter, I'd be freaking excited. I'd be stellar. He's number two, number three. If Eduardo Rodriguez was my number four guy, I'd be excited. But he's my number one pitcher. Nathan Eovaldi can't decide if he is a fireballer in the bullpen or if he's a starting pitcher.
New manager, new GM. Wow.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on the manager?
I like him.
I like him too. I like Renicky too. I like Renicky, him too.
Renicky's a good baseball guy.
Yeah, I like him
I like him a little bit more than Cora. I'm going to keep standing on this pedestal for as long as he's managing in baseball. Terry Francona should still be the manager of this ball club.
Or Bobby V.
No, shut the fuck up. No.
I had to get that one in, you know.
God, dude. Oh, God. No. Terry Francona should still be the manager of this ball club. But no, I like Renicky. He's a good baseball guy. He's going to play with the cards that he's dealt. You know, this is the rotation that we have. I mean, this is the rotation he's rolling with. He's got no choice. You know, Chris Sale is out for the season. He's having Nathan Eovaldi surgery. I mean, Tommy John, and hopefully he comes back and pitches. You know, if he can pitch to 75% of what he was before, he'll walk into the Hall of Fame. He's stellar. He's amazing. But right now, as it looks, it's not good.
Your manager walked into a great job in any other year. You know what I mean?
Right.
Literally managing a dumpster fire of an organization. And I say, I hope they don't judge him too harsh in Boston, because I know Boston and New York can be tough.
Yeah.
Right.
Give him a chance, because he's literally took over a dumpster fire.
He did. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. You know, you have a new GM on top of that too. So you got to give him a little time to kind of put his organization in there.
I like the new GM too. I think he's a good hire.
He's going to be a very good hire. I mean, a lot of people wanted him out of Tampa.
I wasn't terribly wild about Dombrowski, but I thought he did a good job. I thought his firing was weird and wrong.
There's a lot more to that. Yep.
Yeah, I agree.
I still think Ben Cherington never got a fair shake.
I agree too. Okay, now it's my turn.
Your turn.
All right. We addressed the biggest problem in the offseason, the Phillies, the manager.
Aaron's laughing. Aaron's laughing over there.
Because he knows what's coming.
Yeah. We're going to spend five minutes talking about
Kapler, who's not even the manager of the fucking team anymore.
We're going to get to Kapler later, right? But no.
He is so good.
We have upgraded the manager's position. Now,
yes.
That being said, you know, my knock on Girardi has been when he gets into I want Girardi to get us to the playoffs, right? And then I'll worry about it. My knock on Girardi has been in the playoffs. He way overmanages, right? Like, I know all managers tend to overmanage in the playoffs. Girardi, that's where he's going to be judged. But let's get to the playoffs. That being said, we got some problems, okay? When you had injuries in this 60-game sprint, it's going to have a huge effect. And right now, the bullpen there's injuries in this bullpen right now. They've been moving a lot of guys in and out. I mean, they even cut Francisco Liriano. I mean, so I'm worried about that. I like the Didi Gregorius. I think that's a big acquisition we made. Mm-hmm. I like that. I hope
great ball player.
I love it. I love that. I think Girardi, I think he went to go play for Joe. There's no question we wouldn't have gotten him if Girardi wasn't the manager. So that's, again, guy wants to play there. I'm a little worried about the Wheeler. Okay. I'm not going to say, you know, he hasn't looked good. But again, this is some
his bank account looks really good.
His bank account looks really good. Yeah.
I think that's a huge loss for us. Zach Wheeler was a huge loss for the Mets.
I think it was too. But he hasn't looked good. And that's what I'm just saying.
Good. I'm glad.
I mean, the big question is going to be the catcher. If they re-sign the catcher, that's going to be the big issue. You're going to hear it all year. If Romaldo is going to play in 2021. So I'm still optimistic. I think we'll see better quality baseball. I think for sure. As far as that goes, I was wondering if the Phillies may go sign Yasiel Puig. I
think he's radioactive right now.
Yeah. I know, but I would give
him
a shot.
He went to the Braves, right? He signed a minor league deal with the Braves.
Did he sign?
No,
from what I understand.
They tested positive.
But when's the latest you could sign a player in this? I don't know when the deadlines are. I don't know. How are they working trade deadlines?
Okay, so I wanted to mention about the Phillies. I had this theory that the year they got Harper, they were just going to let it play out. And then year two, which would be this season, that they were going to go all in. And I wonder how the midseason trades, how that's going to work. What are the rules? Does anyone want to give anybody up for 30 games? I mean, this season is going to be crazy. And I think the Phillies are – I mean, my prediction was season two with Harper, they were going to go all in. And I don't think that's going to happen.
That was probably the plan. But, you know.
I think Girardi's going to really get the best out of Harper. I really do.
Is Girardi going to get along with management in Philadelphia?
That's a big question right now. I think it's a fair question to ask. The GM is going to be the guy under the microscope this year, Klentak and Andy McPhail. They're going to be the question. And if Girardi doesn't like what he's seeing, he's going to be – you know, look, Girardi had his problems with Cashman at the very end. But, you know, you remember going back to Miami, Florida back then. I think that's a valid question, Hector, you pose there. But I can tell you that
Girardi, I thought Girardi was going to be the savior of this franchise here. But, you know, these guys, they weren't going to put up with that shit. They weren't going to put up with
it. Yeah, I think that's why they didn't take him. But this is Middleton's guy in Philadelphia. And if there's a power struggle between management and the manager is going to win this. I'm telling you that John Middleton will back Girardi. So I think Girardi's in the position of power here. You know, this was the owner's hire. The owner made the move here. They weren't going to fire Kapler. They were not going to fire him. It was very clear. The owner stepped in and made this move. This is his guy he brought in right now.
I think if there's anyone that can keep Harper on the right path, it's a guy that has the attitude of Girardi. I think Girardi is
– That's what I think.
He's a rough-nosed catcher. He's a rough guy. I think Harper is not going to be able to push him around, and he's going to push him hard. So I agree.
He brings respect the moment he puts on his cleats. I mean, you know, you got to respect Girardi. Girardi's going to get in his grill. He's not going to, you know, Harper's not going to roll over him like he's going to roll over some other manager.
Yep.
I didn't know you guys were going to do such intense, you know, analysis. I didn't talk about any players on my team. I mean, I you know, but go ahead, Coop, finish your thing.
No, you did a very good job, Hector. I don't think you did anything wrong.
The only thing that scares me about the team outside of the only starter on that team that I'm not sold on is Nimmo. Nimmo in center field scares me a little bit.
Yeah.
I think McNeil and Conforto are great. Nimmo center field worries me. But I think getting back to what I told you, if how is Girardi and management going to get along? Because if Joe's not going to be quiet.
Joe will not be quiet.
Those post-game press conferences could be something to watch. I mean, yep. You know, the game's over. You might want to wait around and see what Girardi has to say after the game. You know, yeah. I think that's great. I think that's great. I like teams. I like teams with managers who aren't wallpaper, who are actually.
But I like piss and vinegar, man. I like that.
But I think like you could see a change in the GM after this year, or Andy McPhail, the president. Someone's gonna.
I would not be surprised if at the end of this season both of those guys are gone.
They were. I mean, if you looked at how they handled, like it was very clear that they were just the owner stepped in and took over, and overruled those guys. They were gonna bring back Kapler. All right, I'm not gonna you know my feelings on Kapler, but they were gonna bring back Kapler.
No,
that was very.
How do you feel about Kapler? I'm sorry, we're
not. He all I know is I eat the skin on my chicken nuggets. Okay.
You don't even eat chicken nuggets.
Do you swallow your ice cream though? That's the question.
Yeah, I by the way, I use coconut oil. I won't go into the coconut oil thing, but
we don't want to know. You can
Google that. Okay, what he advocated he's using coconut oil for. So, the last thing I'll say is I'm going back to the Harper thing. And again, I know you're going to say I'm a fanboy on this. When Charlie came in as a hitting coach, I saw a difference with Harper. I did. I really think he worked on Harper. I would have liked to have seen Charlie as the hitting coach again. But that being said, let's see what Girardi does with him.
Do you think that was Charlie Manuel's influence or Bryce Harper saying, maybe I should listen to this guy?
I think it's the latter, Hector. No, I absolutely think it was the latter. And I think I think he had a lot of respect for Charlie. And I'm sure that Bryce Harper was talked to about Girardi.
I thought until the year before last that Bryce Harper was the second best young player in baseball behind Mike Trout.
I agree. I'm not gonna put him ahead of Mike Trout. But
Charlie,
nobody ahead of Mike Trout.
Yeah. Charlie Manuel walked over to Bryce Harper with that World Series ring on and said, "Brother, your old team won one without you, and listen to me, and I'm gonna try to get you to the promised land."
Yeah, I think there was a lot with that. I think it was a lot with that. I'm sure Girardi's saying the same thing. See, Bob Sury sat down and said, "Look, we can win this thing, you know, maybe in 2021, but believe in me, buy into what I'm doing here."
What do you think of your staff? You're happy with that staff?
I'm not doing handstands. I mean, over that staff, to be honest, I still think we need a real. I mean, Nola, I guess, is, you know, he's good, but I'm not. The pitching is a real issue.
Recovered? Is Aaron Nola recovered? Because he had COVID, right?
Yeah, he's been pitching.
Yeah,
you're gonna be happy you have Wheeler. Wheeler is gonna be very steady.
I think Wheeler will turn. Like I said, it takes sometimes with pitchers, it's hard to judge, right? These guys didn't have a true preseason, and a preseason is very important for pitchers. So, it's unfortunate. And then he had COVID, so he may be a little rusty, you know, coming in there, and that's where I'm a little concerned. I would like to have one more pitcher. I'd really like to have one more gun on that pitching staff, though.
Don't sleep on Arrieta, man. Don't do it.
Well, Joe, I think, again, that's going to be, yeah. I mean, I think if he has one more good year left in him, it's going to be, you know, we'll see.
Maybe Girardi can pull. Maybe you have the manager who can get it out of him.
Yeah. All right.
You know who wouldn't get anything out of him? Buck Showalter.
Will you stop? No, that's
God,
not
we have – we are such a salty bunch here.
We are.
Buck could have had a lot of good jobs.
And I blame Aaron for all of it.
That's fine. Blame the fucking robots, man. Are you drinking a Corona?
Yes, sir.
Find your beach, man. Heck yeah. That's awesome.
I blame the guy from Cyberdyne. That's who I blame.
All right, let's get into our next segment. I want to mention a couple of things first. Again, the Torch Lighter, Travel Humidor, we have a lot of entries coming in. Tell us your favorite Romeo and Julieta moment. Put it in the chat room for the show. And tag it with RYJ1875, and I will pick a winner at random to win this set. Sponsored by Tabacalera USA. RYJ. You got to have a hashtag in there. Thank you, Miguel. And I just want to mention Tabacalera USA. They sponsored this week's contest, and they're makers of iconic brands such as Monte Cristo, Romeo Julieta, H. Upman, and Aging Room Cigars. Tabacalera USA, great things are happening here. Now, well, I want to get into our three players here, okay? And this is a segment. It's sponsored by United Cigars, what we're going to do here. United, we smoke, but one must go. brought to you by United Cigars, featuring the La Giana Habana, distributors of Jose Dominguez, Bandolero, Garofalo, and the highly acclaimed Atabey and Byron. Buy United, smoke United, live United. So what are we doing here is the question. One must go. Okay. So I'm going to put up the we each picked three players. I picked three managers, by the way.
Because I don't understand. That was not what the whole thing was.
I know. I made the rule here. Well, I'll explain why I made the rule here. I think there is a reason why, and I'll get to that.
Well, you're sharing your screen. Just again, he had to pull up the rules. Like, there were no rules on this. And because I asked for qualification on who we're picking, and I said, and so it was, these are three of our favorite players from our team. Yes. It wasn't like not three of the best, not three of the, you know, there wasn't any qualification other than your three favorite players from your team's history. And it was the history of the team.
Right. So it was the history of the team. It could be in your lifetime or all around. And the Phillies were a unique situation, and I'll get to that, why I just – I'm just trying to make it a little more interesting here for people.
Have one homegrown talent? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
All right. So the rule's simple. You each pick three players, but you really only need to pick two because one of these guys has to go. Okay? So we're going to start with Miguel and the Reds. Barry Larkin. You pick Barry Larkin, Pete Rose, and Johnny Bench.
Great picks, man.
Great picks. Who goes, Miguel? If you have to let one go and say you only could have two of those guys.
Well, I don't, you know, is it, are they on my little, are they on my beer league team? Who, you know,
what's the scenario? What's the scenario?
The scenario is basically, you know, you're
roster,
a fan.
Roster cup down or is it a
roster? You're a fan of the team, but you have to let one of these, let's make it easy. Let's say you're managing these guys or you like these guys. I'll let it go either way. You could do it either way. I took mine as on ability, but you don't have to do that. But let's say you have to cut one of these guys tomorrow. So we'll make it consistent. Okay. Why don't we just make it consistent? We have to cut one of these guys.
Well, I'm going to say it and I'm going to give a caveat. I'm going to be very quick with mine.
Yeah.
First of all, if as a fan, I'm keeping Barry Larkin and Pete Rose because they're Cincinnati born, Cincinnati bred, and they played for the Cincinnati Red.
Oh, interesting.
But if they're on my beer league team, Barry Larkin, you got to go. I need hits and I need a good catcher.
Okay. That's fair enough. That was the toughest. I thought that was
the toughest.
That's a very tough one. Yeah. I agree. I mean,
I thought Barry Larkin was going to go.
You know, it's tough.
That's a tough one. Miguel has the toughest one of all.
Yeah, that was tough. But I don't think Pete Rose was going.
No.
Of the three, really. I think it was between Larkin and Bench.
Yeah.
Three Hall of Famers, man. Three Hall of Famers.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep. All right, Hector, you picked Tom Seaver, Keith Hernandez, and Tommy Agee.
Well, listen.
I was surprised about the Tommy Agee pick, but yeah.
Well, as I'm telling you, I've really – if COVID has done anything for me, it's given me a chance to embrace the historical aspect of the team because I was born in 66. They came around in 62. They didn't win their first World Series until 69. And then, you know, I remember following them from 73 on. Now, I'm going to tell you, Tommy Agee, when you look at the historical
– Oh, yeah.
Tommy Agee was their first all-star that they brought to the team. Tommy Agee, not their first because they had Tommy Hunt, but Ron Hunt. But Tommy Agee, if you look at the 69, if you look at the footage of the 69 World Series, Tommy Agee was a very important player on that team. But there's no way Tom Terrific doesn't stay on this team. Tom Terrific is the New York Mets.
Yeah.
Now and forever. I mean, you know, when you think Mets, you can think all of the guys who've come in free agency and all of the guys who've been traded for, but Tom Seaver is, you know, Tom Seaver. Tom Seaver, it will always be the New York Mets. And the reason I picked Keith Hernandez is, and you know, this is always my issue when we talk, when we have our sports, we talk about baseball, and as much as we've maligned the ownership today, you know that my pet peeve is the Hall of Fame. And a guy like Keith Hernandez, who was already an all-star when he comes to the Mets.
Yeah.
And it was a catalyst in that 86 team and the 87 team that wasn't as good. And the
88 and the 84 team. That, and really the 84 team when they got good.
Yeah, well, yeah, but when he came over and, you know, he was, you know, this is a guy who ended his career with a 994 fielding percentage. Great, best fielding percentage of all time. Keith Hernandez, you know, Keith Hernandez erased the bunt, you know, defensively. When you couldn't bunt against the Mets. You know, the guy who averaged 44 assists from first base to third to second or home during the season. Keith Hernandez. Keith Hernandez is, as my good friend Miguel says, you need hits and you need a good catcher, you need a good first baseman. And you need a good starting pitcher. And Tommy Agee, you know, I don't have the connection to him as much, but it's those two guys.
Very good.
Very nice.
Very nice. So you pick? Wait, you picked Tommy Agee?
No, I picked
Keith Hernandez.
Keith Hernandez.
Okay. Yeah. Keith Hernandez.
Tommy Agee goes.
Okay, I can see that. Okay. All right, Bear, you have another challenging one. Ted Williams, David Ortiz, and Pedro Martinez. That's a really hard one, too.
That's as tough as Miguel's.
So, this is actually a pretty easy decision for me. And I look at the historical significance of, you know, like Hector, I look at the historical significance of these players on the Boston Red Sox and what they meant to the team. They all have their place in history. They all have their place in Red Sox lore. But it's a pretty easy pick for me. I mean, Teddy Ballgame, I mean, there goes the greatest hitter that ever played. That's what he wanted. That's what he wanted to be called, and as far as everyone's concerned, I mean it's not far fetched. I mean, I don't think there's anyone that's going to argue too hard against that. You know, I mean, yeah, we got Pete Rose in there and everything as far as the number of hits, but Ted Williams, you know, he gave up years in his prime to go serve his country, and who knows what he would have done? He probably would have been the home run champ. And he would have definitely had more hits. He would definitely have had not as many as Pete Rose did, let's be honest. But he was just an incredible hitter. And what he did for the city of Boston, what he did for that team, never tipped his cap to the home crowd. But that was the greatest hitter of to ever play. So Ted's got to stay. He is the Boston Red Sox, always will be. And David Ortiz almost single-handedly brought back the Red Sox from the dead, down 3-0. We've all seen the highlights. I've seen them way too many times, but I love it. But he was absolutely clutch time and time again. Regular season, postseason, didn't matter. He left
for dead by the Minnesota Twins.
Yep.
Yeah.
By the Twins
said that he wouldn't amount to anything. Man, they were wrong. His legacy in Boston is forever etched. What he's done, what he's meant to that city, and there's just no way that he's leaving. So the pick is easy, gentlemen. It was easy as soon as Coop told me what it was. I was like, I know who I'm getting rid of, and it's Pedro. And that's not an easy decision.
Yeah.
Pedro Martinez. I mean, he's
look at how. What do you win? 3 Cy Youngs with him?
Yeah, two. Yeah, two.
Two. Okay, two. But he had to dominate. He was a dominant. I mean, he was
that ERA. Oh my gosh! Incredible pitcher. Yeah. Unbelievable. Yeah. Short in stature.
Yeah.
ERA was incredible. Just physically gifted pitcher. Really, I mean, he was the heart and soul of that rotation for a number of years. He is an all-time Red Sox, but you know, from historical significance, which is how I interpreted the one must go. It's an easy pick, and Pedro's got to go.
Wow!
Wow! Wow! All right, Aaron.
Aaron doesn't have an easy one either.
Aaron, you have Ricky Henderson, Dennis Eckersley, and Dave Stewart.
So I picked three guys that I grew up with.
Yep.
They all played together. I got to see them in person quite a bit. So these are just guys that are just near and dear to my heart. So all very instrumental in how successful that team was through the 80s. As much as it pains me, I would probably cut Dave Stewart. I wouldn't be a fan of how he looked at me once I told him the news. But it would have to be. I mean, you know, Eckersley was a lockdown closer, man. It was, you know, the 88 series. That's the, you know, the black spot. But
what a mustache.
What are you going to do? Yeah, exactly. But
don't sleep on the hair.
Yeah, but Ricky Henderson, man.
Ricky Henderson would never pick Ricky Henderson himself. Ricky Henderson, he'll never do that.
Ricky Henderson will never do that.
I mean,
the like ultimate disruptor, man.
Yeah, Ricky Henderson, I mean, wouldn't let you pick Ricky Henderson.
I mean, but you look at Ricky Henderson on the bases as a leadoff hitter. I can understand that.
Greatest leadoff hitter of all time.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
When he just take you deep. Still, he just fuck it. He didn't even have to get on base.
When you steal over 100 bases, I mean, that's just insane. That is, you look at his greatest season, it was like 130, 140 stolen. Yep. That's just unbelievable. That, I mean, especially in today's game, Ricky is good. He'll go down as one of the most interesting players of all time.
Yep. So, yeah, and unfortunately, I have to cut Dave Stewart.
Yeah. And not just that, not only does Aaron get to keep the Ricky highlights and the memories, the Ricky-isms.
Yeah,
you know, the things he did, even when he wasn't with the A's. Yeah. You know, the not cashing the signing bonus with the Yankees.
Yeah,
you know, the sitting on the bus with the Padres, and they tell him he can sit in the back because he's got tenure, and he tells him tenure. Ricky been in the league 16 years. You know, that kind of shit.
Ricky stole 100 bases over 3 times. He stole 100 bases 3 times in his career. He led the league in stolen bases. 9 times.
Wow.
I don't know if we've ever seen another player like him.
Never. And
no.
You can't.
The stolen base is a lost art. It's just, it doesn't really have
the
much
leadoff
of place
hitter
in
is
game.
The lost art. What are you talking about, Aaron?
Yeah,
the leadoff
I would agree
hitter
with that.
Is the lost art.
I would agree with that. Yeah.
Gentlemen, the all time leader in leadoff home runs to start a game.
Yep. 100%. 100%.
He led the league in stolen bases at age 39 with 66.
Jesus. Yep.
Just the thighs on that dude, man. It was just, and when he got on first base, you knew he was going. The pitcher knew he was going. The catcher knew he was going. The manager knew he was going.
That's
and he
what's
still
amazing.
Stole.
That's what's amazing to me.
The groundskeeper knew.
everybody knew he was going to steal.
Yep.
It's hard enough to steal a base. The fact that everyone in that ballpark knew he was going to steal is what makes him so incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Agree. I think Aaron and I would probably go with Stewart, and I love Stewart as a pitcher.
Yeah.
It's like not an easy one. All right. So why did I pick managers? Because every scenario
you have
that
a love affair with Charlie Manuel.
Well, you let me get three good Philly players.
Well, the problem is you have to. If I'm picking three, I have to put Mike Schmidt and Steve Carlton. There's no one else who would. Everyone else would be the guy to go. Because unless I don't.
The reason be honest. You pick managers. There's a chance to make fun of Kapler again. Go ahead.
I'm not. No,
it's 100% right.
There's nothing. Kapler will not come up in this conversation now. Okay. So I picked three of the four managers that went to the World Series. Dallas Green, Jim Fregosi, Charlie Manuel. Paul Owens was the fourth, but he really didn't manage very long. He's more of a GM. And when he came into that role, when he got them to the 83 World Series, he did a great job that year. But he was an interim manager, and then He stuck around 1 year too long, and the team was old. Paul Owens was out of there. So, look, you know Charlie's staying, okay? You know that Charlie's staying.
Oh yeah.
I'm not even gonna argue that one.
Man, yes.
Now Dallas Green won a World Series, okay? He came in and replaced I was always a big Danny Ozark guy. When I was younger, he was my favorite manager. But he got to the World Series. But then you have Jim Fregosi. And Jim Fregosi, I always said this, did the greatest single season manager job of my lifetime in 93. He did an incredible job that year. A ragtag bunch, struck lightning in a bottle, got every move except the move against Mitch Williams, which I don't blame him for. That being said, Dallas is the guy who's going. Dallas is the guy who's going because I think if Danny Ozark had stayed another year, he might have won that World Series.
But that's an easy pick for you to say. Dallas Green is so well.
Dallas Green was like my favorite manager in like when he won the World Series.
But when you think Charlie Manuel, you think the Phillies. And when you think Jim Fregosi, you think the Phillies. But when you say Dallas Green, he coached the Yankees and he coached the Mets and he coached
in
a lot of places.
He should have stayed with the. I mean, he should have stayed in the front office at that point. He should have taken the Yankees job.
Jim Fregosi is part of the worst deal, part of the worst trade ever.
He is. I mean, but that year, like I said, you know, that was the year I lived Rocky Balboa in baseball. You know, they lost, but I came out of that season smiling because I never would have thought we would get to a game six of the World Series. And basically, you know, we gave Toronto all we could. We were beaten by the better team that year. It was just that Toronto team was stacked that year.
Yeah, looking at all the names here that we have, the you know, like Miguel, you know, my good friend Jack Taranio's favorite player is Eric the Red Davis. Didn't make Miguel's thing. Ted Williams, you know, the Ted Williams, the last game, the home run at the last at bat. That's classic shit right there, you know. Ricky Henderson. Yeah. It's the Ricky Henderson argument, which, you know, these sabermetrics guys make the argument. Ricky Williams, the greatest stolen base artist ever, correct?
Ricky Henderson, yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ricky Henderson, record for stolen bases. But you hear these guys say Rock Raines was a better Steve. Rock Raines stole more, you know, was better because he didn't get thrown out as much. Forget that shit. Ricky Henderson was fantastic. You got some great names on that list. Just absolutely great names on that
absolutely
list.
Absolutely. Yeah, all tough decisions there.
So let's do something. If you got 1 second, I want to do something real fun because I think I know what Rob would have picked, and then we can debate on who to go out. Okay. So knowing Rob, this is the three I think he would pick.
Gabe Kapler.
No.
you said Kapler wasn't going to come up.
Not with me, I said.
You know that. Barry Bonds.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Willie Mays. Mm-hmm. And Will Clark. That would be the three that I think Rob would pick.
Ooh,
and he loves Will Clark.
Loves Will Clark.
But you'd have to think that Will Clark is the one.
He loves Barry Bonds, too.
He's going to cut Will Clark, though.
Yeah. You have to have Barry. Willie, the say hey kid, you can't even touch him. So, yeah.
But Will Clark had the most beautiful swing in baseball.
Oh, Will Clark. I
what a beautiful swing.
The second most beautiful swing. Ken Griffey Jr. has the most beautiful swing.
Remember the debate with Will Clark and Don Mattingly in the late 80s? Early 90s? Like, who was the better first baseman?
Better first baseman. I thought the Mattingly debate was always with Boggs.
Was a lot of New York it was a big deal. This became a big topic in New York because of Mike and the Mad Dog in their very early years. Francesa being the Yankee fan and Russo being the Giants fan, they kind of perpetuated that debate in New York for a long time. And it was something that was heard on the airwaves during the first few years of their show. And it made for very entertainment. But I agree, the Boggs
for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. If Aaron's list is accurate for Rob, he surely had the surliest player of all of the ones on there. Will Clark was a super surly guy. He was surly.
Oh yeah, Barry Bonds was a cupcake, right?
Barry Bonds. You know, Will Clark was surly for no reason, man. I mean, Barry Bonds played with a guy. He played with Jeff Ken, who hated him.
Yep. Oh, exactly.
That's nice, Aaron. That was good.
All right.
I'd cut Barry Bonds.
All right. Before we get to our next part, which will be some predictions we're going to make, I want to mention our sponsor, Illusione Cigars. Deep in flavor, deep in your mind. We're not industry standard. Illusione Cigars. So we're going to get to the over-unders next. And the rules are, as we always do, we pick three overs and three unders. And I'm gonna share the screen here so you can see the over unders. If you need me to scroll, just let me know. Okay, they should be up now. So the idea here is we will pick three overs and three unders. We'll start this one with Hector right now. Hector, who are your three overs right now?
I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I think the
Don't do it. Don't do it, Hector.
Okay. It pains me. Can you go down a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. I think the Dodgers are going to win 40 games this year.
Wow.
That's my first over.
Wow.
My first over. How many? Well, you want 3-3, correct?
3-3, yeah. No, you go 3-3.
The Dodgers.
Just see if folks will see it, they're at 37.5. That's wow.
37.5. I think the Dodgers are, the Dodgers are going to. I like the Cubs to go over as well.
Wow. The Cubs are at 32.
And 32, yeah. And, I'm going to be a homer. I think I can't throw these away because you guys talked shit last year when I didn't do well. So All right, I think the Padres are under 31. Let's go down to under. I'm going to do that one quick.
Okay.
Padres under 31. All right?
Mm-hmm.
I think the Red Sox are under 31. Sorry, right. Bear.
Mm-hmm.
No offense taken.
And I think the Yankees will win 35, 36 games. I don't think they win 38 games. So put the Yankees as an under.
Okay.
And fuck it. I'm going to give Miguel some love. I'm going to say, nah, I can't do it, bro. I want to, dog, but I can't. Give me my Mets in 33 games, dog. They're going to win one game more than they're supposed to.
Okay.
Miguel made me.
Okay.
I went in Homer Town there.
Yep.
I stayed away from the Astros. I don't know if they're going to have a team by the end of the year. They might get beamed to death. So who knows? These guys might get beanballed to death. So.
All right, we're doing good.
Favorites page.
Yeah. Okay. Back?
Yep.
Okay. Okay. So next up is Miguel.
All right. I've got mine written down. I'm ready. Ready. We'll start with the over. Cincinnati, baby. Cincinnati.
Overs. We're all a bunch of homers.
We're winning 34 games this year, gentlemen. I actually think the Phillies.
Yeah.
Win more than 31 games this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Minnesota is going to win more than 34 games and a half this
year. Wow.
That division is weak.
Wow.
Yeah, remember that.
Yep. And then
Minnesota was at, by the way, 34 and a half. That was pretty high, yeah.
Yep. Half, yeah.
And then my under is going to be Arizona. I think San Francisco is going to have a disastrous year.
Of course.
And then I think, here's a big prediction. I think Washington, D.C.,
the hangover, man.
Yeah, I think the Nationals are going to be less than 34 wins. I think losing who am I thinking? I went to the Angels. Help me out.
And then done.
I think Rendon is going to have a huge effect on that team, him not being on that team.
There you go. Okay, Aaron?
All right, overs. I'm going to go with the Detroit Tigers to be over the 21.5.
Wow.
Ooh, okay.
Weak division.
Ooh.
I will go with Hector's Mets for the over.
Hector Mets at 32.
That's right. And I'm going to go with the Padres to go over.
Interesting. First, all right.
All right, unders. I am going to go with the Angels going under.
Wow.
Solid pick.
Rendon is already hurt, so Not good for them.
Right.
I'm going to go under on the Red Sox. Going to the Red Sox.
We're dissing Bear today, dog. Come on.
And I am going to go under on the Twins.
Interesting. Interesting. Bear?
All right. My overs are going to be can you scroll down for me, Coop? Just real quick. Just want to check something.
Mm-hmm.
My overs are going to be the Rangers. The Phillies.
Phillies are a popular pick.
And the Tigers.
Wow.
There you go.
Okay, and who are your unders?
Boys, I'm riding the juice, man. The Red Sox. They ain't winning fucking 31 and a half. They're not winning 32 games, man. They're not winning 31. They're not winning 30. The Marlins.
Wow.
They're gonna be shitty. Minor league team, minor league team, minor league team playing in the major leagues, man. You know, hey.
Yep.
And
or Don Mattingly.
And the Angels.
Good pick.
There you go.
That's a heck of a variety right there.
Yeah. I almost, until Rendon got hurt, it changed everything with me. Because I would have had the Angels as an over.
It didn't matter around Rendon. They were still under. I'm serious. No, Angels don't know how to win.
Okay.
They have the best player in baseball, and they don't know how to do it. It's the most sad and pathetic thing I've ever seen in my life.
Get some pitching, for crying out loud.
Yep. Interesting. All right. Time
they
for
have
me
any
to
money left after they paid for it?
Still paying pools, man.
They're still playing pool. Yeah. He's 50 this year, I think. Right?
Yep.
All right. My turn. The overs were really tough to do on this one. So I'm going to go with the Reds. I think, you know,
I wanted to pick the Reds, Miguel. I really did.
I mean, I think they can win 32 games. I mean, I think that's kind of what I need to do to bring that home. So I'm going to pick them. The next one I'm going to pick is
do it.
The Brewers.
Come on home.
I'm going to go
Brewers. Brewers.
Oh, God.
31 wins. I think they can get to 32.
Because Braun's not going to play. They'll help him out.
I don't think it's going to have an impact. And, of course, the Phillies.
There you go.
I think to get the 32, I think 32 wins, 32, a 32-28 record for Joe Girardi is it should be low-hanging fruit.
Homer times two for Coop.
Yep.
His love affair with the Brewers.
Yep. Now I'm gonna my unders were interesting. I'm going with the Astros.
Come on.
Look, I love Dusty and all that, but I think that's an organization that's in. They had a rough off season.
It's a great pick, man, because Dusty's gonna drive that team into the ground.
It won't be Dusty.
It'll totally be Dusty.
I think Dusty could win 33 games with them. But I don't think he can win 36. That's where I'm kind of going with it.
When all those arms fall off at the end of the year, sure.
It's a 60. It's a 60 game season.
Yeah. I'm picking the Rays for an under. I think 34 is a little high for them. Yeah. I think it's a little high for them.
I think it's money. 34 is money for the Rays.
Yep. And can you guess what my last pick is going to be?
Nobody's picked Oakland. How come nobody's picked Oakland? I think
Oakland's
going to get 34 games.
Yep. Yep. The Giants.
Come on, man.
I mean, the Giants are going to be dumpster fire.
Dumpster fire.
Dumpster fire. All right. So those are our picks, and we'll see how we do, as always, at the end of the year with that.
Thank you, Miguel and Coop, for not picking the Red Sox, even though I did pick my own team.
It was close. I think the unders are a lot of unders.
Just let the compliment hang out there, Coop. Thank you. Just thank you. Okay.
Yep. Want to mention another sponsor before we kind of get into some more predictions, Aventura Cigars. Aventura the Explorer is the first creation by Marcel Noble and Henderson Ventura. Immediately after lighting up the Explorer, the Mexican wrapper will delight the aficionado with its dark chocolate flavor. After a while of pleasure, the Dominican filler will flatter the aficionado's palate with wonderful spicy and leather aromas and will unite it with the wooden sweetness from Ecuador. Try Aventura the Explorer and explore this wonderful experience. So we're going to get into the next one. It's going to be our division winners, wild cards, and World Series, et cetera. So I'm going to put back up the share again so we could just kind of see this in real time here. Okay. Let's start off with we'll go through the division winners and then the wild cards. This time, let's go with Hector. We'll let Hector go. We'll go Miguel go first this time.
I am ready.
Okay. I am not, but I'm just going to get. Okay. I'm just going to get this. I should have had this done earlier, guys. All right. So go ahead, Miguel.
All right. I have Atlanta winning the NL East.
Okay.
Go down a little bit, Coop. You're in the AL.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. I should probably.
That's okay. Go ahead. You can do it. That's fine. No problem. You can go over it.
I'm an NL guy. So NL Atlanta is going to be for the East.
Uh-huh.
We're going to have the good old Reds in the Central. We're going to have the Dodgers in the West.
Okay. I kind of went to form what I would expect.
The Yankees in the East.
Yep.
The Twins in the Central in the weak division. And I have the Oakland A's bringing home the West.
There you go. Wow, nice look at that.
All right. And let's do we'll do our wild cards as long as you got those. We'll just kind of we'll do our two wild cards here for you as well. So you can go ahead whenever you're ready.
All right. I think the Indians – AL wild card, I think it's going to be the Indians.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's the Rays.
Interesting. Okay.
NL wild card, we're going to have – God, it's like either the Cubs or St. Louis. Oh, man. I'm going to say St. Louis. I think St. Louis is going to come right behind the Reds in that group there. And this is a total just – I don't even know. On the second NL, I have a big question mark on my paper. I'm just throwing it out there. I am going to say the Phillies.
Yes. There we go.
You're dead to me.
I'm sorry.
All right. Hector.
I like the Yankees. I like the Twins. I like the A's.
Man.
I do. I like the Braves. I like the Cubs. I like the Dodgers. I like the Astros.
For the wild card? Okay.
For the wild card. I like the Rays. Unlike Miguel, I'm going to pick the Reds as a wild card team.
Ooh.
And my beloved Mets. I got to take the Mets.
Okay. Solid.
I like it.
Yep. All right. Aaron?
I'll go with the Yankees.
And that pains me to say that.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it does. I wish the Red Sox were good again.
Yeah, so does little Bear.
Yeah, so do I.
Even though I picked them on the under, I'll take the Twins still to win the Central.
Uh-huh.
And the Astros in the West.
Okay.
I will take the Braves in the East. I will take the Cubs in the Central. and the Dodgers in the West.
There we go.
AL wild card, I will take the Rays and the A's.
Okay.
In the National League, I think both of the wild cards are going to come out of the East, and I'm going to go with the Nationals and the Mets.
Whoa, whoa. Nice. Come on, Aaron.
You're not so salty.
No, no. Okay, Bear.
He's going to take the Red Sox.
This is so gut-wrenching, guys. The Yankees.
Ah, that hurt. That hurt.
Oh, God, yeah, I wish I was drinking something stronger than water, guys. Yep. Fuck. So bad.
Let me have another glass of vinegar.
Oh, God. The Twins.
Wow. The Yankees. That's a consensus. The Twins.
Consensus.
Well, you know Coop's going to screw that up. Coop's going to go with some obscure shit.
He's going to go the White. He's going to White Sox. Astros. Nationals.
Wow.
Wow, that's a big one.
Yeah, that means he's going to screw somebody in the wild card. Watch.
The Cardinals.
Definitely going to screw somebody in the card.
Yep.
And the Dodgers.
Consensus.
All right, your wild cards.
This is my favorite part of the whole show.
The wild cards. American League, it's going to be the A's. And it's going to be the this one's hard.
Do it.
The Rays.
Wow, a lot of love for the Rays. I'm not sure.
And in the National League, it's going to be the Reds.
Hey.
Easiest schedule in baseball, guys. Weak division.
Weak division.
And the Phillies.
There you go.
Ooh, Atlanta isn't even on there for you. Wow.
Nuts.
I was going to say you're dead to me, but, you know.
Okay.
Here we go.
Yankees. I don't think.
There you go. Consensus.
There's no way. I was like, God, there's no one's. No one's picking the Rays to win that. Yanks are going to win it in a walk. It's going to be disgusting.
You did say the White Sox. I can't pick the White Sox, but I think they're going to be really improved. But I don't think the Twins win this division. I'm going the Indians. I think 31-32 wins could win that division. And they play, you know, like I said, that Central division, I think, could favor the Indians and an experienced manager like Francona.
Mm-hmm. No, you're not wrong, man.
No.
I didn't pick them to go to the postseason, but yeah,
I did pick the Astros for an under, but I still think they win the division.
Dusty will get them in.
Now, NL East. Bear, you're right on point. I'm going Nationals. I think the Nationals take that division. Central. Brewers.
Ooh,
wow. There it is.
Yeah.
There's the reach.
Yeah. Well, I've been, you know, it's got
right before.
Been good to you before.
And the Dodgers with the NL West, I don't think anyone is going to – I mean, as much as the Diamondbacks may do a little better, but I think it's a
– little better being the key word.
Yeah. So now we get to the wild card, and that's a real interesting scenario. I'm going to go A's, and I'm going to go Twins.
Hmm. Okay.
So I think the Twins could still, you know, they had the most wins of any Twins team last year. So we'll see. And in the wild card, the Reds.
Homer warning.
The Reds. And yes, the Homer warning, the Phillies.
Yeah.
Can I change one pick?
Well, go ahead.
I was really debating on this. It was really hard. This is the hardest one. My American League wild card. Is that okay, guys?
Yeah.
If you're taking the A's off, it's not okay.
I'm not taking the A's off. The A's are going to get a wild card.
Do whatever you want.
The Rays, and I'm swapping them out for the Indians. That was what I was really debating.
I don't think the Indians are that bad. I think in that division they could
I am just completely shocked that Bears disrespect to the Atlanta Braves.
I had disrespect to the Atlanta Braves too.
Yeah, but I'll say Brewers. I mean, what am I
think about? They're in the tough. I think it's the toughest division in baseball.
The NL East is hard, man.
The NL East is hard. I think, like I said, and I think for that wild card, Hector, Reds, Phillies, and Mets are going to be battling it out. So I think the Mets will very much be in there. But
we'll see.
We'll see. I think I'm going to go with that. Don't love these picks. It's very hard to do this. All right. So now we get to our league champions. We'll get to our league champions and the World Series. Miguel, we'll start this one off with you.
All right. So tell me when you're ready.
I'm ready.
All right, look, you guys, I am going to just – I try to be so calculated sometimes, and I'm not I'm going to throw out a crazy World Series. You ready for this? It's going to be the Cincinnati Reds versus the Minnesota Twins. No one's going to watch the World Series.
Television executives will hang themselves.
this what do is we do? Be, listen, this is going to be a crazy year. This season, we're going to see things that we've never seen before, and I think this is the opportunity. The Yankees are going to make a mistake in the postseason, and we're going to see some crazy team. I think it's the Reds and the Twins going to the World Series this year, and my World Series champion will be the Cincinnati Reds. And I mean,
oh, there it is!
Oh,
whoa,
Miguel, this isn't the you know.
Look at Hector. Oh.
Listen to me. I'm telling you.
The Reds are going to beat the Dodgers?
I'm telling you, this year is so screwy.
It's screwy because it's short. You know, you have a short season and a lot can happen. No, it's not totally out of the realm.
Kershaw, you don't have to defend them.
Kershaw gets hurt. Kershaw, anything can happen, and they all put it on Kershaw. I'm telling you,
Kershaw, it doesn't matter if he gets hurt. That'll be the best case scenario for the Dodgers.
Exactly,
he can fucking pitch in the postseason, man.
Yep.
That's my crazy.
He may not even make the roster, right?
Yeah.
The postseason roster.
Yeah. All right, Hector, what do you got?
I'm going to give you the World Series that this country needs.
Yankees and Dodgers.
I'm going to give you the two scenarios of the World Series that this country needs. This country needs an A's Mets World Series, but it's not going to happen. I'm right down that line. You're going to need a West Coast East Coast World Series to unite this country again, get people to follow the sport. So it's going to be the Yankees and the Dodgers, and I think it's the Dodgers' turn.
Woo! They finally pull one out.
I think they're going to win. I'm telling you, I think they're going to win 40 games.
Wow.
And that's, even though I'd be happy as a sissy in a submarine to watch the A's and the Mets play in the World Series.
Right now, we have all NL World Series champions. Let's see how far this goes.
Yep.
They should have had one too. For like the cheating.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right, Aaron.
All right, AL is the Astros.
Wow, ooh, Dusty.
Dusty Baker.
It's not going to happen. God, Darren.
National League is the Dodgers.
A rematch.
Yep, rematch. And I have the Dodgers winning.
Look at that. Me and Aaron on the same page, first time ever.
And Rob will use that opportunity to put an asterisk next to the Dodgers World Series win.
Of course.
So it will work out for him.
Yeah, I agree.
Consensus NL champions right
yep.
now.
Yep. All right.
That's going to end now. American.
All right. Bear.
Actually, it'll pain him to say Yankees. So he's going to go.
I want to see who he picks in this. Yeah, this is a very interesting scenario here.
He's going to say Yankees, and it's going to hurt him because he's going to choose the Yankees.
Oh, God. Guys.
Start off with a story when you were a child.
When I was a child, when I was a young lad on my dad's knee, taught me about the evils of one team. And they wore pinstripes and they wore black hats. They're not navy blue, they're evil. Their names are the New York Yankees. My AL champion for this 60 game season is going to be the Yankees.
Oh, that gotta hurt.
Oh, Jesus.
He couldn't have picked Dusty.
I feel dirty for him. I feel dirty for Bear.
There's a string hanging out of your Bloody Mary.
Oh, it hurts so much. It burns. It burns. Oh, my gosh. And I don't know how, and I don't know why, but the Cardinals are going to make it for the NL.
Wow.
Oh.
64 World Series.
Okay, Bear.
But, gentlemen, Miguel shares my sentiments because I know he's a religious man like myself. And there is a God. And God will win the day, and the Cardinals win the World Series.
Cardinal.
I don't – you know what?
Goldschmidt is a World Series ring.
I'm going to lodge a protest. This is a completely spite pick.
This was like he had to pick the lesser of evils because none of it – he hates all the good teams and Dusty.
That's a pure spite pick right there.
Yep. Okay. I don't think anyone's going to knock the Yankees out in the AL. Like I said, I think the Astros are going to have some hangover. Dusty in the playoffs is going to be a question, assuming he gets them there. So I'm going the Yankees. Now, the NL, I'm going with the world champions. I think the Nationals go back.
Wow.
I think they got over their hump. I think Dave Martinez impressed me a lot with his managing last year, won me over. I think they'll be okay without Rendon. I think this season, they still got the pitching. They still got the pitching, and in this short season, I think it's gonna help them.
Rendon is gonna hurt.
Rendon's gonna help, but the pitching.
Well, they lost Harper and they won, so Rendon's not as big as Harper was. So
how many times does Lightning hit the same thing twice?
Yeah, I know.
They're good.
They got
but
Juan
that
Soto, man.
Is there? Look at that pitching staff, though.
Yeah.
And that's why they're gonna repeat as world champions.
Second best in the NL East.
I think that the Yankees will get frustrated with that pitching staff in a World Series. I think the Nationals. The Nationals will repeat as your Major League Baseball World Champions.
Listen to me. If that happens,
not a bad pick.
If that happens, Harper needs to be put on suicide watch.
That's right.
Harper doesn't need to be put on suicide. He's getting paid $120. How good money he's making.
His ego will be shattered.
Yeah, his ego's fine, Miguel. He's making – I mean, I say it 100 times. If anyone had a chance to be the highest-paid cigar person, they'd go to whatever company they want. I'm telling you, if someone – I don't want to go there.
I picked the Yankees as an under, not because they're not going to be good. It's just I think they've been unlucky with the injury bug.
I can
see an injury making them. They're still hands down the best team in the
country.
But I just don't think they win.
I almost picked the Nationals as an over, by the way. I came close on that one.
I don't see them working in 37 games.
Listen, the Santa Claus, the Hulk, and the Thing can be in a room, and Bryce Harper can walk in, and his head will still be the motherfucking fattest thing in it. So his ego is going to be fine.
All right. Bear, we'll do the final read. You want to do the final read or you want me to do it?
Go ahead and do it.
All right. We want to mention Michael's Tobacco. With just over a decade of ownership, Michael's Tobacco has become the premier tobacconist for the Dallas-Fort Worth metro area and cigar patrons the world over. With two convenient locations in Euless, just a quick dawn from the DFW airport, and Keller, Texas, Michael's Tobacco stands as a beacon for the Texas cigar retailers. Michael's was the very first cigar lounge in the state of Texas to add a full bar to its ever-growing list of accommodations. Proprietor Mike Peacock is a former IPCBR board member and now has made Michael's a family affair by having his son Bob join the ownership force. Under general manager and master storyteller Tracy Spence's leadership at Michael's, his self-proclaimed accomplishment has been assembling, quote, the greatest team in the cigar retail business, unquote, as well as build some of the world's finest relationships with the industry's most respected individuals. Inventory director Jason Fields handles and maintains two of the area's proudest humidors containing premium cigars for everyone from the everyday smoker to the most ardent collector of rare puros. Under Mike, Bob, Tracy, and Jason's example, they've enlisted a staff of Kevin, Austin, Bear, Joe, and Silas, and Brandon that collectively boast over 100 years of combined industry experience. Together, they have brought a true and blessed mainstay for their respective communities. Whether you're celebrating an anniversary, birthday, hole-in-one, or just a desire to relax, Michael's Tobacco will have the perfect cigar waiting with an exquisite beverage pairing and lively conversation. Visit michaelstobacco.com for more details and a calendar of upcoming events. Michael's Tobacco, not just a cigar shop, but the perfect blend of Texas hospitality and days of yore. So we're back here. We're going to get into our final couple of segments here. And I'm going to pull another share up, because Bear, you put this one in, and this is just kind of a fun question that we have. So give me a second here. Bear, why don't you kind of explain what we're going to do here as I put this up?
So guys, on our last show, I came up with that square, if you guys remember, and I picked significant events in baseball history and, you know, that you would want to witness, right? And you had to pick three out of this list of nine and everything. And so I was just having some fun last night with a couple of things. And, you know, a lot of it, particularly in today's game, we talk a lot about hitting, we talk a lot about home runs, and we talk a lot about stuff like that. But I thought about rotations, like starting rotations. And some of the greatest pitchers that we've seen in the last 40 years. So going back to the 70s.
Right.
And so I decided to pick a pitcher, the top, what I felt, and this is completely subjective, but what I felt were some of the top pitchers from each decade, from the 2010s, the 2000s, the 90s, the 80s, and the 70s. And so I put together three rotations for you guys to choose from. So in rotation number one, we have Max Scherzer, Roy Halladay, Greg Maddux, Doc Gooden, and Vida Blue. In rotation number two, we have Clayton Kershaw, Pedro Martinez, Roger Clemens, Nolan Ryan, and Jim Palmer. And then rotation number three, we have Justin Verlander, Randy Johnson, Tom Glavine, Jack Morse, and Tom Seaver. Now here's the catch, guys. There is an answer that's right. There is a right answer here. And I want to see if any of you four get it. So
I'm ready.
All right.
Hold on, I'm confused. What's the question?
Which rotation is the best?
Which rotation is based on what? Are we doing war? Are we doing win?
Which rotation is going to get you through a regular season and get you to a world championship time and time again?
Okay, I'm ready to go. I'm ready.
All right.
Miguel?
I want to pick rotation number three, but I'm not. I'm picking rotation number two. I think Clayton, Pedro, Roger, even on the with or without roids, Nolan Ryan, not only can he throw, but he can fight. Jim Palmer, I'm going rotation number two. That's the right answer. I know it's the right answer.
Okay. Miguel goes rotation two. All right. Hector.
With the exception of Jack Morris, who I don't like because I think he doesn't belong in the hall, rotation number three for me.
All right. Aaron.
On face value, rotation number three just doesn't fit with the other two. I may be completely off on that. And even though I'm not a Clayton Kershaw fan, I would pick rotation number two.
All right. I'll go next, Bear, and then you can kind of wrap it up because I think yours is going to be the one. Two and three were pretty close, but there was one thing about three that stood out. All those guys have rings. I'm going three.
Wow, we got a split here.
So let's see what Bear says. He says, I want to hear why he thinks this is the right answer.
What's the right answer, Coop?
Well, I think it's three.
I'm interested that no one picked number one. I thought that was a really solid rotation that I put together for you guys.
Gooden was not good in the playoffs. Vida Blue was good, but not great. Maddux, not a great playoff, not a great postseason pitcher. Halladay, Scherzer, you know, DeGrom over Scherzer. you know, but that's probably Coop's influencing you right there.
Right.
I don't know. I just, number one doesn't have the October victories. And I love Greg Maddux.
Yeah, that's kind of where I went with that too.
I love Greg Maddux because I love a guy you can give the ball to in an hour and 40 minutes, you're home. I like that, you know.
Yep.
8 innings, 94 pitches, you know, let's go. But I don't see the rings in rotation one.
Interesting.
The victory, okay. Not the rings. The victory.
So there, like I said, there is a right answer to this, and the right answer is rotation number 3.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And what is that? Just because of the rings, or
the,
what?
How so the rings, and there is absolutely positively no weak spot when it comes to when the chips are down and you're in the postseason, when you're in the clutch. These are all guys that are proven regular season pitchers, have exceptional records. They can go the distance. Justin Verlander can throw triple digits into the ninth inning. Randy Johnson was an absolute animal. Tom Glavine was a master. Him and Greg Maddux were arguably the best duo pitcher, you know, 1-2 punch in baseball in the last 50 years. Jack Morris, we all know what he can do. Go 10 innings of a complete game. And it's Tom Seaver. I mean, Hector knows. It's Tom Seaver. And they all got rings. That is the winning yep. rotation.
Yep. I think Clayton
Kershaw can't pitch in the postseason. Okay. Yep,
understood. Nolan, the four, he didn't even have to pitch. He could just fucking sit in the dugout and cheer everybody on.
So the Clayton Kershaw didn't dominate. Clayton Kershaw can't pitch in the postseason. Nolan Ryan never really got to the playoffs much, guys. I mean, 69, he wasn't even really in that series. You know,
he was a bullpen guy. He was a bullpen guy.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Doc Gooden has a nickel a day cocaine habit. Can't get off the drugs. And Vida Blue is a very impressive underrated pitcher. But compared to, I think Vida Blue might be the weakest pitcher in this entire list here. And that's not a knock. I mean, this is an impressive list, if I do say so myself. Even with Roy Halladay and Greg Maddux being able to go complete games and stuff, I think Doc Gooden and Vida Blue put that team down every time.
And you're talking about rotation 3 with Jack Morris with his career 3.90 ERA.
Yeah.
I mean, that's I think he's the weakest pitcher on that.
I agree.
But you know, look, a lot of guys will remember. Everybody remembers. Listen, and I don't mean to steal your moment for a second, but you're a baseball guy like we all are. Everybody remembers Jack Morris. Jack Morris, they remember for one thing, correct?
Yep.
Game 7.
Right. Yeah. There was – Bill James says that Jack Morris gets the accolade, but Rawlings goes, we're such a young country. Nobody remembers – and this name's going to freak you guys out. Mickey Lolich outpitched Bob Gibson in 2 World Series games, you know.
Yeah.
and nobody remembers the Mick, you know, because he was second banana to the who won the 30 games that year for the Tigers. Coop, what was his name?
Oh, Denny McClain.
Denny McClain. Everybody remembers Denny McClain. Nobody remembers Mickey Lolich. I think. Don't get me wrong. I think I saw 3, and I saw where Bear was going with that, with the rings and the, but Morris.
When it matters most.
Yeah. And he has one of the all-time best mustaches. So, I mean, that's why, you know, people remember that. Great mustache.
If you took rotation 1 and substituted Steve Carlton for Doc Gooden, boosts that one up. I don't know if it beats 3, but it comes damn close. I think it beats 2 if you just substituted Steve Carlton in there.
I'm feeling good, man. I'm feeling good about number 2, man. I really do.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, 2 is very good. But like I said, I kind of looked at the Kershaw, Nolan Ryan piece, and I'm like, you know, like I said, I would not want to be a manager facing a rotation of Justin Verlander, Randy Johnson, Tom Glavine, Jack Morris, and Tom Seaver.
Left-hander, right-hander. And what's Verlander? Left-hander, right-hander?
Right. Verlander's righty.
Yeah.
Three righties and 2 lefties. That's a tough deal right there.
That was a good exercise.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Jim Palmer doesn't get enough credit. I think Jim
he
Palmer
doesn't.
Is. He doesn't. You know, when they won the World Series, when he was on that World Series, that was really the year. That was when Mike Bodega had kind of emerged. Mike Flanagan emerged at that point.
But don't forget, before Flanagan, you had Dobson, Palmer, Cuellar, McNally. I mean,
yeah, they did.
four 20 game winners on that team. What we were doing, and I'm gonna finish that OTP thing for us this week. Unfortunately, you know, I've been working a lot. But if you look at those Orioles teams, how good they were from the mid '60s to the '80s, those Orioles teams are fantastic. I mean, those
McNally never gets enough credit, man. McNally was awesome.
Never.
Yep.
And you know how we always talk about the Milt Pappas trade being the worst trade of all time. I know that gets Miguel all jacked up. Jim Fregosi. Every time you mention Jim Fregosi, and I think the Mets traded Nolan Ryan for Jim Fregosi and two guys to clean the field. That just drives me crazy.
Yeah. All right. The last thing is I got 10 questions for everybody.
Hit me.
All right. So then this is the last segment. So we're not going 4 hours yet, Jack Tarano. All right. So I got three questions regarding managers. First question. Will Dusty Baker stabilize the Houston Astros?
I think he stabilizes the Houston Astros, but I think they missed the postseason this year. But I think they put together a good season. I think Dusty does a good job. And I think in the future there's more World Series rings for that team.
Interesting.
Without Dusty Baker as manager.
No.
Stop that.
With Dusty Baker. Dusty Baker.
Miguel, I'm right on. I'm completely in line. I have them making the playoffs, but I agree with you. I think this is going to be a tough hangover from that offseason.
Yep.
I think Dusty. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Miguel. Continue.
No, I just think that the team, with all the bad press, all that going on, they don't have to listen to the fans this year. But I think that they really let down the city of Houston. I think it's going to weigh heavy on them. I think Dusty gets them grouped back together in the next 2-3 seasons. You're going to see some good plays, some good games out of that team.
They don't have to listen to fans, but they got to listen to the sound of a ball hitting their helmet as they get beamed in the batter's box.
Yep. And that's where I was going with that. I think that this year's Houston Astros are going to face the kind of trouble from opposition, the opposing teams that maybe no manager's ever had to handle. I mean, you know, he's got to worry about the safety of his players week in and week out, at least for the first trip around the schedule. They're gonna get plunked. They're gonna get shit talked.
Garrett Cole this year either, don't forget.
That's why they brought in Dusty. Dusty has 60.
Yeah, but I don't think I know Dusty's an experienced manager, but there's nobody who has this in their repertoire. Nobody's gone through this before. Yep. This, even for a guy like Dusty who's seen it all, this is the first time that you're going to have a team that's hated by 29 other teams. 29 other teams are going to hate these fucking guys.
Look, they're bordering the hate of the Yankees. I mean, they are borderline that in that field of the evil empire.
Oh, they're hated more than the Yankees right now.
I mean, I really do. I think so.
Yankees hate them.
Yeah, I think they've got the
Yankees need to look in the mirror sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say they're just standing on some wobbly chair.
Yeah, there. You got to be all care of your Yankee fans.
There's a crosshairs on those guys.
I
think it's going to be tough.
I agree.
And I think Dusty's getting up there in age too, man. I think
he's in his 70s. Yeah. But I like the old guys. I like the old guys, man.
I do too.
We know.
Of course you do. I'm going to dig up Casey Stengel. I'm going to dig up Casey Stengel and put him on the third baseline. Come on, man.
See, I think this is the best case scenario for the Astros. They don't have to deal with the fans. They get out of that one really easy.
Right.
MLB's not going to let this, plunk the player thing go on too long.
Plunkapalooza.
With the whole thing about, worrying about the safety of players with COVID and all that stuff, they're not going to stand for this. You're going to get opposing pitchers tossed out of the game real quick after a few games, and teams aren't going to be able to hang with that, so they're going to have to stop doing that. And I think that the Astros, they're not apologetic about what they did, so they don't really care. I don't think they're going to have any kind of like bad feelings that they, you know, they did something wrong. So I think they're going to go out there and act like they earned it last year and keep doing what they're doing. I didn't pick them to win the World Series, but I think they'll get there. So I think that they're still in good shape. Next year might be a different story, but we'll see how that looks. I think everybody forgets by then, though.
Very good, yeah. These next two I think we might have answered already, but we can just see if there's any feedback. Because I think we talked to some of this already with our predictions. I think people know the answer to what I'm going to say. My answer on this one: how much of an impact will Joe Girardi have on the Phillies this year?
solid, good, positive impact.
I agree. Yeah, I'm agreeing with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I agree.
Okay.
Unlike Dusty Baker, he will have a positive impact.
All right.
The next question I'm interested in.
Now, the next one's a really interesting one. How much of an impact will Joe Maddon have on the Angels? That was the big manager signing this year.
Oh, can I take the lead on this?
Go for it.
Angels can't win, man. Joe Maddon's arguably one of the best managers in baseball in the last quarter century. You know, I think arguably he's one of the best, right? But it doesn't matter because the Angels have they can't bring in pitching. They have the greatest baseball player. You know, by the time Mike Trout hangs up his cleats, we might actually get to say that we saw the greatest player ever play. And I don't think that's very far fetched. I think that's pretty close to the mark even right now, whereas it stands in his career.
I have a question, Bear. I gotta jump in there. I think when they signed Maddon, you don't think Maddon said, "I'm not coming here unless you promise me we're gonna fix this pitching staff." I think, as smart as he is, I'm telling you, I think they're going to fix – not this season, but I think to get him to sign on the dotted line, I think they had to probably promise him that they were going to invest in pitching.
I don't think that's a poor argument. I don't think that's a poor point. I think you probably have something there, Miguel, but they've shown time and time again where they haven't been able to do that. I mean, who's to say that they sign the right pitchers? I mean, who's to say they don't sign, you know, with all respect, Hector, a bunch of Zach Wheelers for a bunch of money, you know, to be a top end guy when he's a nice middle rotation guy. Mm-hmm. You know, that,
I agree.
You know,
I'm
that, with that. They're, you know, that's the type of signings that they're consistent with. They pick, they do not know how to assess talent other than hitting the jackpot with the greatest pitch, with the greatest player in history, arguably. And Madden's great. He really is. But in the context of this season, he's not gonna make a dent. I'm sorry. It's just not gonna happen.
I don't think Maddon makes a difference this year either. They don't have the tools in place to make the change. And how many more years are they paying Pujols?
Two more.
Let's say he has this year 45. And next year, yeah.
2 years, I think.
Can't they just buy him out?
You know, the over-under for Maddon was 32 games, and I think that's a little bit of a stretch, to be honest with you.
It is a stretch.
But if, I tell you what, if he goes and wins 32 games, he's done a good job this year.
Sure.
Well, let me tell you something. If he wins 32 games, Pujols caught a lightning in a ball. Pujols has to have the year he hasn't the years he hasn't had in the last couple. That's what's going to have to happen.
Pujols hasn't had a year since he's been an Angel.
I understand that. He's going to have a Cardinal-like year in 60 games for them to win 32 games. Yeah. That pitch
impossible. Out. Impossible.
I know. It's his age and all the other metrics are against him, but that's what's going to happen. When we get together again at the end of the season and the Angels have 32 wins, Pujols has to be a top 25 player.
Yeah, I hear you.
What do you think, Aaron? You're a West Coast guy.
Yeah, I don't think he makes much of a difference. I mean, the only thing that makes me question it a bit is that, you know, what he did with the Rays when he didn't have a ton of talent there.
And the first year with the Cubs, too.
Yeah, I mean, but the Cubs had talent. Yeah.
Cubs had some young talent.
No one predicted the Cubs.
Maddon had talent with the Cubs, and Maddon had sneaky talent with the Rays.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But
no one thought the Cubs would get into the NLCS.
But you know what the Rays had? You know what the Rays had? They had pitching.
Yeah,
James Shields, Matt Garza, when they were good and in their prime and in the young prime, it was like a young A's rotation, man.
Yeah.
And Maddon wrote it.
See, the Angels have two guys, though, that could be good in the pitching staff, and that's Haney and Canning. Haney's always an injury risk. Canning is an injury risk because he's coming off of that whatever thing he's got going on in his elbow, but he just threw five shutout innings the other day. I mean, those two guys, if they're good and they can stay healthy, like there's a chance. But I just the whole rest of the team, I just don't see it. Okay. They don't have a good bullpen other than Trout, Rendon Hurt. It's tough.
I don't know if Trout ever is going to get a ring, but I do think they're going to have some bright seasons in the future.
Yeah.
Joe Maddon will be the first manager to take three different teams to a World Series. It won't be this year, but he'll get that. This guy is, you know, job he did.
He's a legitimate manager.
He's a legitimate manager. He's going to be there for several years. Yeah. All right. Let's go to the next question. And this is kind of interesting. Let's kind of look at this from like a division winning perspective here, because I think we both know these teams are all going to do good. Can anyone challenge the Dodgers or the Yankees in their divisions?
No. Not in their divisions. And you can see by my World Series predictions, I do think this is an oddball season, and we may have an oddball World Series. I didn't want to pick safety here. I went out on a limb a little bit, but I'll tell you.
A little bit.
I do think that the Dodgers and the Yankees are obviously the class of Major League Baseball, but how many times in the last 20 years can you say these are the best teams and they go all the way? It does not happen.
Right. You said it
the last few years with the Yankees, the Dodgers, and the Astros.
No one picked the Yankees to win the World Series, by the way, just a side note. I mean, a lot of us have.
A lot of strikeouts. It's a lot of strikeouts at the end.
I'm going to
– Judge and Gabby, whatever. Gabby Sanchez, that's a lot of strikeouts.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see anyone challenging them in their divisions. Even if there are some injuries, I think they'll be okay.
I think they could be their worst enemy themselves. I don't think anyone can challenge them. They just need to run into some bad luck.
Yeah, I mean, they get in the playoffs is another story. We all know the playoffs are another story, but I'm just saying, if they win those divisions, they're pretty stone. I mean, they're as close to Stone Cold Lock as you can get right now. Unless the Rays, I think I'm not high on the Rays. I know you guys are. I don't see it either with the Rays.
I never see it with the Rays, and they continue to do just like the A's. Sometimes you boggle your mind and go, how do they do it? That's how I feel about the Rays.
Yeah, no, I agree. All right, next question. This is take the weak divisions out of this for a second, all right? What do you think is the magic number to make the magic number in terms of wins to kind of lock yourself into the playoffs?
32
for Miguel. So you get
to lock the division title?
To just get into the playoffs. Could be a wild card.
Oh, to get into the playoffs? I agree. I'm going to agree with Miguel. It's going to be 500 doesn't get you in the playoffs.
No.
So 32 or 33, 34 wins.
Yeah, I would agree with that range.
There?
34.
Plus eight for sure.
34 gets you a postseason berth.
I actually was a little higher. I had 35. 10 games over 500.
Price is right rules, man. Good bless.
Yeah, I was pretty close. Yeah, so I think we're pretty close. Yeah. All right. Next question. Will we see fans back in the stands for Major League Baseball this season?
No.
At all?
No.
I tell you what, I do think Major League Baseball wishes that could happen maybe in the postseason, but they're not willing to take that chance, lawsuits or anything like that. So even if they're clear, even if it's like, hey, we have the solution to COVID, I don't think anything is going to happen with fans in the stands. I think Major League Baseball said, man, early on they thought, well, maybe by the time postseason runs around, I think this year they just said, there's no way we're not going to let it happen.
If I thought fans were going to get in the stands at any point, the Astros wouldn't even sniff the playoffs.
Yep. Listen, NASCAR has let people back into the stands.
Yeah,
there have been people at NASCAR games. I can see just out of basic owner's greed, a 20%, you know, a Marlins type crowd, 10,000 people at a stadium, you know, 7,000 people at a game. I can eventually see that happening towards the end of the year.
Can you imagine what a Yankee ticket would go for?
Yeah,
sick.
I can just imagine the fights outside of the Bronx would be great. I could see that. NASCAR is going to allow it. I don't know what football is going to do yet, but I can see that. You know, they may experiment as we hit the curb and we start to descend a little bit. You know, we're going to have 10% capacity this week and maybe 15% the week after next. I'd like to see it. I don't know if it'll happen, but I'd like to see it.
I'd like to see it too. It's not going to happen though.
Yeah, I just, you know, look, my bobblehead collection is really going to suffer this year. It's just the way it is.
long shot for the World Series, but I'm kind of in agreement with you guys. I don't, and even in that, I don't think it's capacity. So I think they're just going to write this year off in general. Like you said, they're not going to take it, especially with cases now surfacing in the NFL, which is something worth watching too.
Oh, look, baseball. The president just came out, regardless of how you feel about the president. The president came out and said he now believes it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Yeah, it's
that's the first time you've heard our president say that.
Yeah, yeah, I don't see it happening. All right, next question. Will the Marlins, the Tigers, or the Orioles benefit from a 60-game schedule this year?
I thought about this question a lot, and I don't think they do. I think they're bad now. 162 games, 80 games, 60 games, I think 10 games. I think those teams are just bad.
I agree. the Marlins have one of the best – they say they have one of the best farm systems. The experts say the Marlins have a great farm system. They have 8 out of the top 20 players in the minor leagues are in the Marlins organization. But if they're not going to call them up, 24 wins. I think 24 wins is too many. 24 wins is 4 wins too many for the Marlins, you know? Yeah. And the Tigers are going to be awful, and so are the Orioles. Nothing's going to happen.
Bear and I probably think differently on this one. Like, we probably have a counter. Because Bear, you picked them for a wild card.
Which team?
The Tigers.
I didn't pick them for a wild card. I picked them for the over.
Oh, I'm sorry. You picked them for the over. Okay.
Yeah, I picked them for the over as well.
I think one of the three benefits from it. They're all shitty teams. They're all terrible. But one of them's going to catch something. And I think it's the Tigers to where they actually, you know, do something crazy. Get third place. I think they'll sniff 500. I think they'll get, 28 wins or something like that.
That's kind of where I'm thinking. I agree with you on that.
The Marlins have the advantage from playing years and years in an empty stadium. The Marlins have the advantage. All right.
The Tigers are going to have to open the season, and then a week after that, the World Series champion Reds. It's not going to happen.
You know, but they have that. They're in that those two that central. That's why I think they have a shot to kind of at least, you know.
They get the Reds 7 out of the first 10 games this year.
If the Tigers go 27-33, it's not a bad season for them. And they.
Oh my God! I see the Tigers in the upper 20s. 26, 27, 28 wins, yep. Something like that. Like, just, you know, like I said, one out of the three will benefit. All three benefiting? Absolutely not. Not even close. Like, the Orioles are terrible. The Marlins are awful. I mean, Tigers are awful, too. But one of them will, and I think it's the Tigers just because of their divisional situation.
And with the history of the Orioles, they may sign Pujols to a 10-year contract after he's done with the Athletics.
All right. Next question. Will we see a 400 hitter this year with an asterisk?
I don't think so.
I miss – look, just the other day I was talking to someone about Tony Gwynn. Look, batting average to the players today don't mean anything. Mm-hmm. I do think you have some throwback guys like Trout who do talk about the importance of a batting average. But I do think that we may have a possibility of having an asterisk triple crown this year. We may have an asterisk triple crown, but I don't see anyone over 400 at all. Now, in a 60-game season, can you imagine Ted Williams? Can you imagine Tony Gwynn? Good Lord. Yeah. You know, Brett. But I do think there's a real possibility of an asterisk triple crown.
I think it's a shot, too. Something weird could happen with that, especially if a player gets hot, you know, over, you know, 20-game stretch.
I want to go back to the beginning of the show, and Aaron, I think, brought up a great point about how the season is going to be dictated by the way that the uniqueness of pitchers. And pitchers are going to come out firing on all cylinders, right? Every game counts. Every pitch counts. Every inning counts. This is going to be like the 60 games is like just a lengthy playoff, you know, run for some of these teams. And so all these pitchers are going to come out throwing gas, and they're going to be hitting spots, and it's going to be and their strikeouts are all time high anyway, statistically. There's not going to be a 400 hitter. And I think Aaron's point from the very beginning of the show about how pitchers are going to be utilized and how they're going to come out. There's no way. If we have a batter over 360,
I'll be shocked.
I'll be shocked. Mm-hmm. I think Arenado, I think Trout, I think those guys can get to 330, 340, 350 pretty easy for a 60 game stretch. But no one's going to top 360.
When your Cy Young winner is 10-3,
that's going to be. We're going to get to that one.
That's good.
I'm gonna say someone flirts with it.
I think that would be exciting.
I think it's gonna be, and I'm gonna say someone's gonna flirt with it. But I don't think it goes to 400. I think we could see maybe above a 375. That I know it's a little bit of a stretch, but I think someone's gonna flirt with this. 40 games into the season, someone's gonna be very close to that.
Coop, can you just throw out one or two names that you think they can flirt?
Trout and Arenado were the two guys that Bear said. I think they're the two guys I would look at.
Goldschmidt's another dark horse, but
yeah,
you can't have another start like he did last season.
Yeah, yeah. And I think again, we talk about the historical significance of Trout. I think that could motivate him. You know, again, I think Trout knows he's this historic player.
Yeah, but I think even at 60 games, like
Christian Yelich. Would you think he would have a shot at it?
Yeah, you'd have a shot at it.
That's what I'm saying. Christian Yelich may be the third guy.
Did you guys forget that going into the All-Star game last year, McNeil was hitting 350 going into the All-Star game last year?
Yeah. But you're already at 75 to 80 at that point. Yeah. That's why I think it's going to be a stretch to get the 400, but I think someone's could flirt with that 375 mark, and, you know, it will be talked about.
360 is the benchmark.
I agree. I think that's a –
I think Trout could definitely be the Triple Crown this year. The last one was Mickey. I think Trout could be a real shoe-in for that.
I mean, yeah.
It'd be really great justice for Trout because there was a lot of argument that year, which was stupid in the first place, about him and Miguel Cabrera, who was the MVP after Miguel Cabrera won the Triple Crown. And people were saying, well, Trout had a better year. And I'm like, what? No.
Yeah. All right.
We have a DiMaggio Williams issue.
Let's kind of go with the Triple Crown, and let's guess this question: how many home runs will it take to win the home run title this year?
15.
60 games.
Yep.
20.
That's a 20. Lot.
Wow.
That's someone on almost us. Yeah, that's a lot. I mean, 20 would do it. 20 would do it. It's a lot.
That's the question. How many home runs to win the title?
Yeah.
20.
19.
20 home runs or 55 RBIs?
It's 19.
I was going to say 19, so I'm right there with you.
I'm going to say 17.
20 and 55 RBIs. That's your first guy to 20 and 55 RBIs.
Now, to give you an idea, Aaron's number, if you looked at a 40 home runs, if you said 40 home runs would take to win the title, Aaron's right on there. It's 15. Mm-hmm. So Aaron's number is not off. I'm going to say, all right, someone gets a couple more dingers in there and takes it.
And I don't know why we're still at this day and age, after so many years that we've been doing this, why we even still look at the – why we care anymore about batting average home runs and RBIs. Right, Aaron?
That's right.
Nobody cares.
Who cares about that, buddy? OPS, baby. OPS and wins of replacement. That's all that matters. Yeah, you're old school. But when you start reading these books, man, you'll get a completely different – I'm going to send you a book to read, but you're going to completely get over that. Completely.
All right. And the last question of the evening. Will we see a pitcher win 10 games this year?
I don't think so.
Well, hold on. If I could go first, hold on. If we stay true to the theory that we had earlier, that you may see pitching staffs be used.
That's what I'm thinking about now.
Yeah,
you may see a middle reliever.
Yeah,
you may see a middle reliever with,
and it can still be games. Yeah.
You may see one of those middle reliever, Roger McDowell before he became a closer, Rick Aguilera before he became a closer situation where he has, you know, 9 victories, you know, he's got 9 out of the 30 victories because he pitched an inning and a half between the 6th and 7th inning or 6th and 8th inning. And
those Rays secondary pitchers that come in and throw 4 or 5 innings after the opener.
Yeah, so,
or, okay. like those pitchers that the Royals had back in 2015. Yeah. You know, that
Cueto.
The 7th inning.
Or no, Cueto.
The 8th inning specialist.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about the relievers. You know, the Royals had the formula. They get 6 from their starter, and then 7, 8, and 9. They had a specialist for each one of those innings. You know, you could see that.
Yeah.
I mean, you're looking if you go through a starting rotation. Let's say they go 5, 4 to 5. That's about 15 starts. Did I get that right?
Yeah. 10 and 5 to be 10 and 5, you'd have to be you'd be the ace.
You have to get a lot of decisions in there too, so it's gonna be hard for a starter to get it. I think be tough. I'm really curious to see how the Cy Young goes this year. I think it's gonna be tough unless it's gonna have to be a middle relief type of scenario. I agree.
Because I mean, based on what they're kind of talking about how stretched out the starters are, is whether they can even go 5 in their first start, right? So if they can't go 5 in the first start, they don't even qualify for the win.
Yeah.
And then if they make the second start, can get to that point. So if you burn 2 starts for a starter, that's tough to come back from.
You're gonna see some incredible ERAs this year.
Yeah.
Oh, Matt Ty asked a good question here. How many players hit 10 or more home runs this season? That's a pretty good question, actually. I think you'll have some. I think you're going to have – because I think it's going to be an offer. I think there's going to be a lot. I think it's going to be tight home run races you're going to have this year. I think you'll have a lot of those guys in the 10 to 15 range.
Guys, don't forget every year somebody just jumps. There's a couple of guys jump out of the gate.
Yeah.
A couple of guys have 2 homer games in the first 10 or 15 games, and, you know, all of a sudden he changes the whole pace of, you know, changes the mean for everything here.
Very good. Very good. So that's going to wrap up the baseball show. Before we kind of close out, last chance, Romeo Julieta, torch lighter.
Hashtag.
Travel humor. You got to put your favorite Romeo and Julieta moment. Hashtag RYJ1875. And I may extend this. The contest is going to be open for the next couple of days, but I may extend it a little longer. We'll see.
On the Cigar Coop page.
Yeah, on the Cigar Coop Facebook page. Gentlemen, I want to thank you guys as always. It's always fun to be to do this show with you guys. I know, you know, like I said, it's on your personal time. I know Miguel, you're traveling. Hector, you've been working like a fiend. So appreciate it. Aaron and Bear as always. As well,
I love baseball, man. Baseball has been
very good to me.
Very good.
Listen.
Very, very.
I look forward to kind of looking at how we do at the end of the year with this stuff. So,
hey, look, boys, when my Reds make it to the World Series, I'm sending you all Cincinnati Reds hat.
I will wear it with pride.
We'll wear it, Miguel. I'm in. Yep. Nothing would make me happier, like I said, to see some of our teams make it to the World Series.
7 5/8, Miguel. 7 5/8. Yeah.
Oh, will Bryce Harper win the MVP this year?
No.
No, stop it.
I'm going to pick him. I'm picking him. All right.
But you know what? But if Kapler wins manager of the year, you're going to go on suicide watch.
That will not. I am a Stone Cold lock. Stone Cold lead pipe lock. He will not win manager of the year. He may name me back after this year.
Oh, shit. God, man,
you are a salty fuck.
Let me tell you something.
Well, Aaron has rubbed off on you in a bad, bad way, man.
I mean, that guy doesn't eat the skin off his chicken nuggets.
Maybe we can get Kapler a job with the PCA.
There you go.
Oh, did I say that? I'm sorry.
All right.
Miguel almost fell out of his chair. Oh, that was great.
Yeah.
That's the way to end the show. Fuck right. Yeah.
Couple quick programming notes. Thursday is primetime episode 148, the virtual trade show. We're going to have Hector and Miguel both part of that as well. So we'll be giving you the times as well. I know, Miguel, you got to go earlier, so that won't be a problem. We'll get you in there as well. So we have a ton of companies coming on that night.
Yep.
So we're going to be following the Hector formula, who did it with the draft.
Hey, that draft worked. All right,
it did. It was great. Worked. Oh, dude, it was great.
It was unbelievable great. Aaron, job.
For,
unbelievable.
For Aaron, to tell me it was good, you know that hurt him. I was so, And, of course, we have the greatest moment ever in podcast history when Coop loses his shit. That is absolutely the greatest moment
The Giants pick was right up there with – the Giants pick was right up there with Kapler getting the Giants job.
And I couldn't get Miguel on the show because he doesn't follow football. Doesn't give a shit about the Bengals. Who are the Bengals? He said, who are those guys?
That was a group from the 80s. There were a bunch of women that sung Walk Like an Egyptian.
That's right.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You're going to have a good time doing that show.
No, it'll be good.
Last time I saw a Bengal, I was at the Cincinnati Zoo.
Wow.
Yeah. And Hector, I lit up a Seis Provincias too. Great.
Oh, thank
yep.
you. Thank
yep.
You.
So MTZ, thank yep. So I should have mentioned that earlier. All right. That's going to wrap up Primetime Special Edition 80 Into the Annals of History for Tuesday, July 21st. Now Wednesday, July 22nd on the East Coast. Thanks to everybody. Thanks to our audience for tuning in. Appreciate it. I know a lot of guys stayed for the whole show. We do appreciate it. And we'll see everyone on Thursday night. Have a great night.
Let's go Mets.
See you next time, everybody.
Let's go Mets.